Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I had some guests scheduled today, but I've canceled them because I want to be able to talk to you, the audience. I want to take a lot of phone calls and discuss the biggest news stories, the most important news stories, the most ignored news stories of 2008, and what you think is going to happen in 2009 as the world heats up as we go into the new year here in 48 hours. Less than 48 hours, with huge tensions rising, very serious tensions rising in Central Asia, between the subcontinent, India and Pakistan, wedged in between Iran and China, as well as Afghanistan. We have Israel now 3 days into a blitzkrieg attack on hundreds of targets in the Gaza Strip, injuring thousands, killing more than 500 people, and they're saying it's going to last for weeks. We have the economy sinking into a deepening abyss. Rand Corporation and others saying they want World War III to bring in the New World Order. A lot is going on. A lot is happening. So wide open phones for the full 4 hours today. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. Any subject, any item, any issue you want to discuss, we are taking a passel, a gobbin of calls today, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, what is in my little stack of news? We'll also be covering the news today, economic, military, social. I also had a little run-in with the police last night, leaving work at about 11:15. You know, that's the only reason I may leave this country, is because I don't want my children around these type of people. But everywhere else is run by third world police, so God help us. I'm going to tell that story later in the hour. Oregon is admittedly about to put transponders and satellite tracker boxes in all cars to tax you by the mile. This is also going in nationwide. I would tell people about this 10 years ago when I would read about it in industry publications, and when Toyota and others would say they were getting ready to follow U.S. and British and German directives to do this, and people would call me a conspiracy theorist. It's now all over the Oregon newspapers, conditioning the slaves to get ready for it. So we'll get into that. On the situation with the Gaza Strip, a McKinney relief boat hit by Israeli ship. This is out of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And the former congresswoman's ship was heavily damaged when it was rammed by Israeli ship trying to bring in aid supplies to the embattled Gaza Strip. See, the most ancient form of total war is siege. And Gaza has been under economic and military siege for years. They are starving to death in many areas. Egypt will not let them out. So they're being bad as well. Of course, they're on globalist payroll. And so the Gazans, 1.5 million of them, plus are between a rock and a hard place. What is there, 1,550,000 in there? And so it's shooting fish in a barrel. And so they've been saying, open the embargo for the last year, or we're going to shoot Katyusha rockets at you again. We're going to shoot glorified Estes rockets at you. And so Israel didn't, so they started firing the toothpicks again. And so now Israel's dropping 1,000, 2,000-pound bombs on them. And, I mean, just decimating what's left of the country, leveling whole city blocks. And Cynthia McKinney tried to bring some medicine in there. And are you kidding? I mean, if Israel will run over American college students with bulldozers and laugh, they'll kill her. I mean, if Israel attacked the USS Liberty, to blame it on Egypt. You know, don't get uppity there, Cynthia McKinney. They'll kill you and say you bumped your head. I mean, they'll shoot you on TV and say you bumped your head, like Benazir Bhutto. Because they know they got a thumb-sucking, brain-dead population that doesn't know what's going on. All right, we're going to come back, get into all the news, ladies and gentlemen. And more on what happened to Cynthia McKinney today when we return. That lady has got a lot of will.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today. It is the 30th of December, 2008. We have 3 hours and 51 minutes spanning out before us. Wide open phones for the full 4 hours. McKinney's relief boat hit by Israeli ship. A boat carrying international peace activists, including former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, and medical supplies to the embattled Gaza Strip, sailed back into Lebanese port on Tuesday after being turned back and damaged by an Israeli Navy ship, organizers of the trip said. The crowds on the docks in the Lebanese port city of Tyre were jubilant and cheering as they welcomed the vessel. The boat, which set off from Cyprus Monday, wanted to make a statement and deliver medical supplies to embattled Gaza. The trip's organizers said the boat was clearly in international waters 90 miles off the coast of Gaza at the time of its close encounter with the Israeli Navy. Our boat was rammed 3 times, twice in the front and one in the side, McKinney told CNN Tuesday morning. Our mission was a peaceful mission. Our mission was thwarted by the aggressiveness of the Israeli military. Yigal Palmer, a spokesman for Israel's foreign ministry, denied that there had been any shooting, although the two ships had made physical contact. And it goes on from there. Israel saying there's no intention on any part for the Israeli Navy to ram anybody. So basically denying it. Come on. Israel warns Gaza blitz could last weeks. This out of the French news agency. Israel bombed Gaza for the fourth day on Tuesday, started Saturday, warning that the blitz that has killed at least 360 people could last for weeks as Hamas fired back with deadly rockets landing deep inside the Jewish state. As anger, I mean, listen to how that little headline is twisted right there. And I'm trying not to get involved in all this and take sides. It's all tribal warfare, but clearly Israel's the bully. And clearly it's for political gain with all the corruption scandals going on in Israel. It's meant as a diversion and distraction. Clearly they've had that area of Gaza locked down for years, people starving, no medicine. That is an act of war. Siege is again, a total form of war. And so they fire back these homemade rockets. And notice they call it deadly rockets, but they don't call the 2,000-pound bombs and Hellfire missiles deadly that Israel's raining down, blowing up whole city blocks. I mean, leveling entire blocks. As anger over the devastating offensive spiraled in the Muslim world and elsewhere, UN Chief Ban Ki-moon implored world leaders to work urgently to end the unacceptable violence. The UN will save us, I guess. Continuing, Israeli troops mass along the border. Arab anger is rising, New York Times reports, and they've been massing Israeli troops since Sunday. Hundreds of tanks, mobile guns, artillery, field pieces, bulldozers. Israeli troops and tanks mass along the Gaza border, and the government said it had called up reserves for a possible ground operation as the death toll increased to more than 300 after Israeli aircraft pounded Gaza. Report here out of Press TV, world protest Israeli massacre in Gaza. Israel keeps pounding Gaza on the third day of its aerial campaign as the world continues to protest the deadly blitz that has killed over 310 people. And that number's from yesterday. It's more like 400 now. Some estimates are 500. There's protest in Turkey, protest in Europe, protest in France, protest all over the world. Barak, the head of the Israeli military, says they are in an all-out war with Hamas. And the Jerusalem Post is reporting that the IDF has launched their own YouTube channel. IDF launches YouTube Gaza channel. In the midst of the Gaza operations, the IDF is entering yet another conflict zone. The internet, the Israeli army's announced yesterday the creation of its own YouTube channel. Now, notice that what just happened with this simultaneously. Suddenly, the ADL announces that they are basically on the board of YouTube advising what can be on the site and what can't. 6 months ago, we have Lieberman. He comes out and he says, we need to restrict what's going on YouTube. If the government says it's offensive or dangerous or pro-terrorist, it needs to come down. And what comes down? Marines killing puppies. U.S. troops and contractors shooting people. Innocents. That's all taken down. I mean, it can even be on the nightly news. YouTube takes it down. Google's taking these videos down. And now mainline humanitarian, mainline liberal videos that are saying, let's have peace, let's stop the killing, you know, that shows images of crying and bloody children. That is being taken down by YouTube. I mean, I saw hundreds of accounts the last 2 days that are being taken down. But meanwhile, you better believe that Israel's military, they're going to put out whatever side they want. They're going to show, dead Israelis from these rockets, and they should show it. But you're not going to be allowed to show the dead Palestinians. So when it walks like a duck, when it quacks like a duck, I mean, to have people like Lieberman and of course, Rahm Emanuel, who just resigned from his House seat yesterday to go work at the White House, when you have all these folks who clearly, you know, serve Israel first, it's a terrible thing to our nation's sovereignty. And it's terrible because our country is hated. Our country is demonized worldwide and associated with the bullying activities that are going on right now in Israel. And then that is all signed on to our name. And, you know, I understand this is tribal warfare. I understand that the globalists need this as a distraction, as a diversion, that Israel itself is a set piece set up by the Rothschilds, by the British, as part of the great game, kind of a giant aircraft carrier in the Middle East is basically what it is. And I understand that upwards of 50% of folks in Israel are also against what's happening, but they live in a police state. Israel is not really a democracy in the true sense of the word. Neither is Russia. And neither is the United States. I mean, when you have 90% of the American people against open borders, but they stay open, or 80% against the war, but the war continues, or 98% against NAFTA and GATT, but it continues. That's not freedom. The elite goes and selects and promotes the candidates they want. But look, I'm already digressing. The point here is that in our name, 1.5 million Iraqis have been killed in 5.5 years, and 1.5 million before that, in the first 13 years of the siege and rolling bombardments of Iraq's water treatment plants, power facilities. And Iraq is now being euthanized. The whole eugenics program is being run against them. They're only allowed by law, and you're arrested if you're caught saving your seeds. The old heirloom seeds, thousand-year-old, 2,000-year-old varieties. The U.S. Army and Marines, and this has been on the news, they go in and they cut down the date orchards, the fig orchards, the olive orchards, the tangerine orchards. They are all cut down. Huge construction teams, engineer teams, go in and they cut everything down. Now, why do they say that? All along the Tigris-Euphrates for 800 miles. Why do they do that? They say terrorists can hide in the vegetation. Now, imagine, and especially in the Middle East, where things are very arid, very dry, especially in Iraq, where they only have greenery along those rivers, the United States went in with contractors and giant engineering bulldozers and destroyed it all. And then they came in and said, here is seed you have to buy from one company, Monsanto, and the law says it's the law. This is on record. This is Associated Press. Google it. Iraqi law, only GMO crops can be planted, which then don't produce seeds that can grow again. You got to buy it from them. Total military domination, where they can't even have their own plants. Again, it goes back to the Bob Dylan song. Someday growing your own garden is going to be against the law. Yeah, they're going to grow their corn on the moon and eat it raw. So now 1.5 million are dead. They have typhus. They have cholera. They have all the stuff coming back. They're forcing inoculations. The people are on starvation level. If they want to get a stipend of Iraqi money to be able to buy food to live, that's overpriced. So even though the globalists give them money, that money goes right back in the globalists' hands. They have to take inoculations because you have to get a national ID card that has your thumbprint, your face scan. I mean, those people are what we're going to be living under. I want you to understand that. Wherever the New World Order has a captive population, you see what they're going to do to everybody else. Foster children in the United States, 67% on average sourced. The federal government on that, you can pull it up. The Department of Health and Human Services, 67% of U.S. foster children, because the feds pay bounties to put them on the drugs. That's why the foster parents put the kids on drugs. They get more money. Are on psychotropics, and on average, they're on 7. You're like, what's that to do with Iraqis and bulldozing their ancient trees, their ancient food sources? Imagine, I mean, they love those trees. A lot of them just commit suicide en masse. They've had over 200,000 Indians commit suicide the last 3 months because GMO cotton came in and then killed their cows that they fed the cotton seeds to, which they've always done for thousands of years. So they just, that's all they had. They were already subsistence. They went and committed suicide with the BT poison that they've been sold to spray on the cotton. They just drank a cup of it. See, it's the same thing. When they get you captive, they drug you, they hurt you, they attack you, they want to dehumanize you. All right, we're going to come back, get to your phone calls, and get into a bunch of other news on the economy. Stay with us.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. I
fell in. The Austin Police Department is completely out of control, running around attacking the Bill of Rights at every corner like it's some enemy army to be destroyed. And I'll be talking about that coming up later in the hour. Got a bunch of economic news, but let's go ahead and start going to your phone calls. Now listen, we don't screen your phone calls. And it's wide open phones, but Kazak keeps calling. He called yesterday. He was the first caller I went to yesterday, telling me how I'm a white devil and all whites are the seed of Satan, and that biblical redemption is all racial. And I'm sure that's what this is about again. Sir, I'm just, number one, you're so stoned every time I go to you that you can hardly talk. Now, maybe you're not stoned flat on your back right now, you know, feeling like you're, you know, the chosen God creature. But, I'm not into all this race stuff. Not when white supremacists do it, not when you do it. And I don't care how you twist the Bible or what stuff you make up, but expect to be beat up when you call into the show, because I've just frankly heard enough of it. So you got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, whatever, man. You're just full of it, okay? It's time to reveal who the real Jews are. That's what your guest said about 2 weeks ago. But you never did. So why don't you go ahead and reveal it now? Beat me up? Can you beat me up? Oh, you don't want to speak.
Yes, God. Oh, God, I can't. Oh, you're God. I'm the devil. I can't talk to God. Hang up on him. Hang up on him. You see? That's what I'm talking about. This guy won't call in with any of his information. He could have revealed who the true Jews are. I am so sick of all the Jew obsession. It's always in the news, though. It's always going on. I'm just sick of it. I just want to be a human being and live in peace and have liberty. Okay, sir, you called in yesterday first. I put you on. I put you on again. Started yelling at me. You can put out your information, but you just wanted to attack me. Okay, we know who they are. It's you. You're God. I'm the devil. I'm going to hell because I got white skin. It's over, okay? You're fine because you're black. You are the God man. Fine. Great. I've got the story straight. Of course, there's about 100 other groups saying they're the chosen people and God. People love this stuff. They just love it. They just absolutely love it. I don't see the Black Israelite We're God movement, though, out protesting the CPS taking your children and testing pesticides on them until they die. And I don't see your other liberal black leaders doing that either. So go ahead and do what's popular and You know, when you go to prison, just, you know, learn about how your God and everything else. You know, the Muslims don't recruit you. The Christian Israelite movement will get it. And I'm not your enemy. I don't care. You're God. I'm the devil. End of the story. Let's go ahead here now and talk. And I'm not going to take your call anymore. That's it, Kazakh. I can't let you dominate the show. Okay, have fun. White devil, don't worry. I'll be dead soon enough. Gary in Chicago, you're on the air. Oh, Gary just hung up. Bryden in British Columbia. Go ahead, Bryden.
Alex.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
I just want to say I love your show, man. I listen to it every day. You're like my big brother in a way, if you know what I mean.
Big brother? Big white devil? Am I your big white devil, brother?
I'm born in 84, so you're actually real, you know? You're not fake. You're a human being.
No, I'm a devil.
No, you're a good man.
Anyways, do you have any points or topics you'd like to bring up?
Just kind of about what the youth is going through. Like, what do you think the youth should do? Like, people who have no chance, you know, who have no...
Well, number one, you shouldn't let Madison Avenue tell you that you don't have value because you don't have a bunch of bling and a Mercedes Benz. What matters is what's written on your soul, your heart, your love of liberty, your love of decency, your love of being honorable and helping others. And really, we all need to strive to be more humble and then realize that you can warn people. You can warn them about fluoride. You can warn them about vaccines and autism. You can warn them about the New World Order. You can be a leader in your area. And again, the good people in the world, the salt of the earth, need to come together, black, white, Hispanic, old, young, it doesn't matter, and preach liberty and freedom. And just don't be sucked in by the world. Don't even be sucked in. And all of us struggle with this. I'm not on some high horse here against hate and against even hating our enemies. We fight our enemies because we want to protect the innocent. Just be a leader in your area. Start a local radio show. Start an Access TV show. Start a website. Go on YouTube. Oh, yeah. Start talking about how you feel. Just, you know, engage people. Go ahead.
What I've been doing is I've been going, like, through the churches, right? Because I'm kind of, like, a Christian in a way, but I'm not.
You're not a mainline Christian.
Myself. What's that?
You're not a mainline Christian.
Oh, no. I'm just a...
All right, well, briefly finish up when we get back, but I'm moving the calls quick here. I mean, we're going to go to the next person, then go to the next person. You know, what are your predictions for next year? What do you think the most important stories of this year were? You know, finishing up with that earlier caller about white people being the devil, I got news for you. Humanity has evil in its heart. It also has good. But as great and honorable and loving and amazing and dynamic as humanity can be, we can be just as bad. And a lot of it goes with people losing their moral compass. You know, you take the Black Messiah movement. It basically claims there was no slavery in Africa until whites invented it, which is absolute bull. If you really want to get technical, it was actually folks out of Africa in Egypt who invented slavery. Then they try to argue, well, it's a different type of slavery. Well, you can call it whatever you want. The point is, humans enslave humans. Asians enslave Asians, Germanic groups, when all they had around them was other Germans, they would enslave each other. The Romans enslaved black, white. They didn't care. Now, about 600 years ago, Christianity was used, misinterpreted, as an excuse to claim for the first time that only certain people were of good houses and others were of bad houses. Bad families, and so blacks, they said, weren't really human. They were of the devil's seed, the seed of Cain, and that they deserved to be enslaved because of the mark that was put on them. which is supposedly their black skin. And so now black folks, some of them, it's very popular, have picked up kind of the reverse of that. And I just don't have time for it. I mean, I really don't have time for it. I'm not going to descend into, you know, I have anti-Catholic groups get mad at me because I won't take on their anti-Catholic crusade. So they then claim I'm a Catholic agent. I'm not Catholic, folks. My whole family's Protestant, both sides, going back forever. In fact, famous Protestants, you know, on the Mayflower, founding Texas. I mean, the list goes on and on. But I don't get into hating on Catholics. I do criticize the Pope calling for world government. So people get mad at me. I criticize Israel, and I do it in a measured, professional way that actually exposes what's happening instead of just mindless, frothing, caricature, stereotype, racism, which only feeds into and gives comfort to what Israel's doing. A lot of Zionist documents even show that. They love the wild-eyed white supremacist and the rest of it. And the same thing goes for all the black supremacists and the rest of it. I mean, I grew up in Dallas, Texas, folks, in the 70s and 80s, so I've been called white devil probably about 300 times to my face. But am I a primitive bad person, you know, spiritually, psychologically, just because growing up in Dallas, there were a lot of racist blacks, and many times I was attacked by blacks in Dallas, and you know, I'm a lot tougher because of it. You know, I've been put in the hospital by blacks, and I've put blacks in the hospital repeatedly. I've probably put 10, 12 big black guys in the hospital, okay? And now, do I then hate blacks because I grew up in Dallas and a couple black guys would say, "What are you looking at, you son of a bitch? You want some?" Bam, boy, right in the face. No, because I know that most black people aren't like that, and most black people, but it was always the same. I'm the white devil. You know, they advertise to go to Jamaica. Every week I see where some stupid liberal white leaves the little reservations at those resorts and climbs over the fence and walks down the beach, and they're a little guilty chicken-necked white twit, and up walks the Rastafarian, and they slit the throat of the white devils, the white she-devil, the white male devil. Because we're animals. We've been dehumanized, just like Hitler dehumanized Jews and gypsies and Poles and communists, anybody else he didn't like, and then it was okay to kill them. Well, see, now Jamaica tries to keep this real quiet, but their tourism's falling apart because people are finding out, you know, all these ads for Jamaica. Oh, the happy, smiling faces. Oh, the Rastafarians want to hug you. They want to love you. They want to kiss you. No, they've been taught that you are the white devil. They have been taught that you are an absolute piece of filth who hates them and wants to kill them. Now, there's certainly been British oppression in that colony and enslavement and, you know, the sugarcane plantations. And see, I know that and I understand that. So just because I had five Mexicans assault me in a parking lot and break my leg, I don't hate all Mexicans. I have been racially attacked by Mexicans repeatedly growing up in Dallas, very rough town. I have been repeatedly, I mean, has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been walking down the street and had two big black guys come running down the front porch, you know, because you're a 170-pound white guy at the time, and said, you know, "Hey, what are you doing in our neighborhood? Or what are you doing walking through here?" Oh, a little, you know, little white devil. And now you've always got the advantage, though, when you're racially attacked, because they don't expect you to go absolutely ape on them. I mean, that's when you can really fight, is when it's kind of enjoyable when three or four people pile onto you. Because that's when you can really, I can't get it on, you know what I'm talking about, unless I'm really being attacked. And then you can just savagely crush people. But the point is, I have been racially attacked over and over and over again growing up in Dallas, Texas. But I don't hate black people because of it, and I don't hate Mexicans because of it. But I'm tired. Listen, you don't have some guilty, bug-eyed, chicken-necked little white yuppie here who feels guilty and cries in his little mitten all day over you. I haven't done anything to black people or Mexicans. The New World Order has taught whites to feel guilty and give up the country, give up the sovereignty, and they've made it a racial issue. Oh, you need to support higher taxes or you're racist, or you need to support Barack Obama and his global carbon tax, or you don't like black people. It's a bunch of bull. I don't have any guilt. I am here actually trying to help little white, little black, little Hispanic children who are taken by CPS and put on drugs, or who have pesticides tested on them, experimental drugs tested on them that kill them. Because I know that that little black child is not inherently a bad person, that that little black child is not inherently evil, that they are a blank slate upon which they can become a good person or a bad person. And so I will not be sucked in by all the racism. And so, you know, the anti-Jewish groups can attack me and say I need to be killed all day long. I will expose Israel when they're corrupt. I will expose Israel when they're doing bad things. Clearly an engine of the New World Order. You can debate all day the power structure. The point is it's bad news. And I will criticize people like Pat Robertson when he says China needs abortion. And I had radio stations turn me off. They said, we know Pat said that, but still, you're not going to talk bad about Pat Robertson. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not for abortion. And if you think I'm going to ever compromise on that, got another thing coming. You see, it's tribalism. They know we love tribalism. Black, white, old, young. It doesn't matter. They know we like to think of our group. We like to work with our own type, you know. It's built into us, and so the New World Order manipulates that and controls that. Hey, what is your blackness or your whiteness doing for you right now that the bankers just stole $8.5 trillion and counting of taxpayer money? And they're going to use part of that money back as a stimulus package to further federalize and take control of everything. How is that helping you? You know, if you're black or you're white, it's not. We're all in this together. 99.9% of us against less than 6,000 global elitists. And that's in their own words. Rothkopf, the head of the Kissinger Group, and others. He wrote Superclass this year admitting they're setting up world government. That's your enemy, ladies and gentlemen. And the globalists are masters at getting us to fight and argue about, well, what's the hierarchy of the elite? Well, who's, you know, instead of mobilizing the public to come together, black, white, Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, whatever, against tyranny, for liberty, for a Bill of Rights culture, instead of that, it's just all these groups fighting with each other. Why do you think the big foundations fund all these groups fighting with each other? So let me just give everybody a travel advisory. I told you 5 years ago that the Texas-Mexico border was more dangerous than the West Bank. That is now admitted by the State Department and has been in the major news. I'm also telling you that it's even more dangerous if you are white, you will be racially targeted. The media isn't going to tell you that. If you're white and you go to Jamaica, you will be racially targeted. Okay? But you're not going to see Hollywood movies about that, you know, showing the evil racist, black Israelites as they slit the throat of the white devil. Can you imagine if there was an island of white people and black people were going there to vacation and being murdered every other day and then the media wouldn't talk about it? See how long you last. Go to Jamaica, climb over the fence with your wife. Bring your kids with you. They'll even kill your kids. And just sit there begging, going, I'm a white, guilty chicken neck. Oh, please don't kill me. You're black. Blacks aren't evil. Blacks, it's impossible for blacks to racially attack somebody. Oh, really? Blacks are just as tribal as any other group of Homo sapiens sapiens. You go to Africa, it's blacks killing the blacks across the river. It's blacks killing animus blacks and Christian blacks and Muslims, black Muslims killing each other. This is what human beings do. And so I'm sick and tired of all of this. And so there you go, buddy. Now, I said I was going to take calls today, and I don't want to get sidetracked by this. We need to get our heads screwed on and fight the New World Order and educate people. You know, I don't hear the white supremacist. I don't hear the black liberation groups. I don't hear them saying, hey, don't drink sodium fluoride in the water. Don't eat GMO foods. I don't hear your groups out there actually even trying to do anything for your, quote, race. You're a bunch of infantile little boys that like to dress up in military or religious outfits and strut around to your little groups of people acting like you're God. And that's why the media gives you so much attention, because they want that type of infantile behavior to expand and continue. All right, now I'm going to your calls right now. And I'm going to give each caller 1 minute, because I want to take a lot of calls today. And it seems like it's next to near impossible. Again, I got a lot of news, so it's open phones. Finish up Bryden in B.C. You said you're going into churches. What's happening?
Well, I figure, right, like they pay money to heat the place and everything. They could set it up so they don't have to, you know, like fishing for them. Teach them how to fish so they don't have to pay for power, right? But what you're going
I don't understand
there,
what you're saying. See, I don't understand.
Well,
maybe it's
if
me.
If I set up free power for all the churches, what I'm trying to like do for my own house right now, right?
They can free power? I mean, what is it, solar power?
Just like, yeah, anything, wind.
Good.
We get a lot of sun here, so.
Exactly. People need to get back to the land. They need to get independent. Bryden, good to hear from you. Great job. Being independent, not being on the grid, or being partially on the grid, partially off, being self-sufficient, that's what the New World Order doesn't want. Let's talk to Tim in Georgia. Tim, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing, Alex?
Good.
I want to apologize to you for that idiot in Jamaica. Jamaica is so messed up. He spent his time calling you a devil. Well, why would a devil tell you about the sodium fluoride in your water? Why would a devil tell you about the HPV shot not to give it to your little girls? Why would a devil tell you about the GMO in your food? The devil wouldn't tell you that. The devil will let you know to eat that. So your devil is Killer King Jackson and Slickback Sharpton, who don't even open their mouth about these topics. We want to fight the New World Order. We don't want to fight each other. So, and I was in Jamaica a couple of years ago. Jamaica is messed up, buddy. You got more issues in Jamaica than you can stand to sit back here and waste your time talking to Alex Jones about your God. Well, if you're God, fix our problems then. Fix the New World Order then. We'll stop wasting our time. Go back to sleep. Go smoke you some marijuana or something. And get off Alex Case. I want the information. I want the information that he brings us today. I don't want him to spend a whole segment talking about racial and tribal issues, because it's not an issue. What the issue is to fighting the New World Order.
Well, you know what makes me frustrated is I try not to get into all these tribal issues that the New World Order punches our buttons, because we're all the same. We're all, you know, the same brain, same genetics. You know, I mean, we're all the same operating system here. We're the same creatures. And they know how to punch our buttons. And I'm telling you, I got all these groups. They want me to talk about Catholics, Jews, Protestants, blacks, Mexicans. And all these groups get mad because I won't make it racial or religious. I'm only trying to fight for liberty. And God bless you, my friend.
It's a distraction, Alex. All it is a distraction. I got one question. What is your stance on Cuba?
Well, you know, again, it's a very sophisticated Hegelian dialectic that the CIA funded Castro. He was their man. He was on Meet the Press. They told everybody he was wonderful until the late 50s. And then he basically stabbed the establishment on the back, came in, took over Cuba, kicked the mafia out, and brought in a new form of tyranny. And so, I think the way to reform Cuba is to open Cuba back up. I think the way to reform Cuba is to allow free trade into there and allow people to visit. But at the same time, I don't support Cuba and the hundreds of thousands of people they've secretly arrested and killed. And so I'm not in some love fest with Cuba. But at the same time, I know that the New World Order wanted to stage terror attacks and blame it on Cuba. I mean, what's your stance on Cuba?
Me, personally, I kind of like Fidel because of the healthcare system and how his central bank is not ran by the European bank. It's their own central bank. And I was trying to get your stance so I can fully get an understanding of it because he has a program over there that he will allow kids to come over there out of high school and study in the medical school for free, long as they agree to come back and work in poor and impoverished areas in their own country.
No, I know. I mean, Cuba has been one of the purest communist models that we've seen anywhere. I'll briefly comment on that when we get back. I mean, it's so silly. It's so stupid. I was thinking during the break, the globalists, by design, are taking the blood out of the economy. They're deflating it like a tire, like a balloon. They're bringing in their tyranny. They're getting ready to use the U.S. military against us, which is filled with black people, brown people, white people. I mean, the New World Order is your enemy, folks. You better figure that out. I mean, politically, what the establishment is doing is so outrageous. Openly letting foreign banks set up governmental power, openly tell the Congress to sit down and shut up. The Congress is above the executive and the judicial. The Congress is the one that charters the Supreme Court. It's the legislatures and the states that create the state courts, the cities, the counties, because the legislature is elected by the people. But instead, we've got the legislatures now, the creatures of the executive and the judicial. It's a tyranny. But, you know, communism, it's again, if angels were administering it, it would work. But human hearts want power. Human hearts want control. Even if you're not a person filled with avarice and aggressive, you soon figure out you need to have a little bit of power and funds just to be independent and protect yourself. And there's always going to be people, if you're even free market and successful, who are going to be jealous and envious of your success. Now, in the case of Cuba, you have to look at the history of it. You have to look at what happened there. Cuba was never free. And so they set the communist model up against what it previously was and call it free market. It wasn't free market with Christopher Columbus coming in there and figuring out that tobacco was addictive and then sugar cane was profitable and then it was gold and silver. In the Americas, they came in, they enslaved the natives, just like Europeans enslaved their neighbors, just like blacks enslaved blacks in Africa. It's what humans do. But they know the public's ignorance. They say, ooh, the evil Spaniards, they enslaved. That's what natives did to each other, always warring with each other, always enslaving their neighbors as well. And so they show up and they set up a tyranny. And so you have a giant 98% of people poor, 2% wealthy. The plantation system, the colonies, the ranches, the peons. Peon just means serf, peasant, serf, slave. And it was slavery. I mean, you weren't, early on they were called slaves, but later they were just sharecropper slaves. They didn't have any money. They lived in the land. They couldn't go anywhere. Some would run away from the plantations, go to the big cities, end up getting thrown on another slave ship, taken to somewhere where slavery was still legal. And so in comes these rebels, and they're going to, you know, fix it all. And of all the communist systems, North Korea, Russia, China, Cuba has been one of the most pure. And it's still been dehumanizing, has broken down their society, and they arrest you if you criticize the government, and it's bad. And they can advertise all day that, you know, they've got doctors and that they give people health care and the rest of it. One reason Cuba's healthy is because they don't have all the GMOs and the rest of it. So there's, I mean, it's a very sophisticated issue. And the problem is callers ask me these really important, nuanced, very intelligent questions, and I could go on for hours on each subject, but I want to take your calls. I've had a few shows I've done over the years where I take call after call after call after call after call. I mean, I can take hundreds of calls. And here's the toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. The bottom of the hour, I'll tell you my cop story from last night and some of the other wild stuff the APD's doing. And it's same stuff's happening all over the country. They're taking blood, warrantless checkpoints, taking blood. They're putting signs up in North Austin saying you're not allowed to walk down the street or you'll be arrested. But I had a run-in with the federales, and they are federal, even though they don't know it. Austin PD last night. I'll tell you that story as well, and I got a bunch of economic news. But we're going to come back and just take call after call. We're going to talk to Dustin, Steve, Tim, Mike, Joe, and many others. Stay with us. Back in 70 seconds.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The problem with history is the establishment gives us different versions, different flavors of forms of command and control tyranny. Communism, socialism, fascism. Well, humanity's never had true freedom. It's a great responsibility, very hard to even approach. But we want more degrees of liberty, always more freedom, always more knowledge, more understanding, more decency and goodness and self-control, and less of the dark side, the evil nature that's in all of us, whether you're Jewish or German or African or Chinese. And I just challenge any of the racists out there, black racist, white racist, all of you, tribalist, to look at a black child, look at a white child, look at an Aboriginal child, look at a Hispanic child, and tell me you don't innately love that child and want good things for that child. Tell me you don't have an instinct to want to help them. Well, the New World Order doesn't have that instinct. They have a predatory lust for blood and death. And that's who we're fighting. And you have to wrap your mind around that. Taking calls. I got a bunch of other news coming up. Russia finally made the Wall Street Journal with some of their top analysts saying the country's going to collapse. We're going to be talking about that. But right now, let's go to Dustin in Ohio. Dustin, you're on the air.
Merry Christmas, Alex. How you doing?
Good, sir.
A couple questions. One, your JFK movie, when is that going to be finished up or coming out? I'm really looking forward
to that. The Obama thing is so important that I've suspended the JFK film. I've still been doing some shooting in Dallas and other places on it. It's going to be coming out in the summer. The Obama film will come out, and it's designed to destroy tyranny. It's designed to expose tyranny in the info war. So we're going to release it on March 15th. So it will be out March 15th, and we are racing to make this Obama film, which is also, it's not just about Obama, it's a third about the shadow government, a third about Obama being a traitorous puppet, and a third about the economic collapse in the martial law situation. So we are racing with this film, and the film is going to be pretty much done by inauguration, except that I'm holding it for inauguration to see what happens after that to make it absolutely up to date. And so it will be out in mid-March.
Excellent, excellent. It's amazing to me that he even, you know, has won the presidency. I personally think, I'd like your comment on this, but I personally think that the establishment is bringing Obama in to kind of lay the groundwork for Arnold. You know, electing a non-U.S. citizen-born, you know, president. I personally think everything I've been reading that they're kind of paving the way for Arnold to take the office here one of these days.
Yeah, well, that was actually in the, Chicago Tribune and on the CBS News site 60 Minutes, 2 weeks ago, that he does want to be president. He is lobbying to have the 22nd Amendment changed. And guess what? 31 states, all he needs 32. 31 states, or is it they have 32, they need 34. I've got to look that up. I know this. They are two states away from having a constitutional convention, and they can rewrite everything in there. And they're claiming they want it for gay marriage in some states, and in other states they manipulate conservatives and say, oh, it's for a constitutional amendment on the borders. But once they get the con in, you know, they fool liberals to be for it for one reason and conservatives to be for it for another. But always con-cons turn out being bad. They can rewrite the whole thing. They can abolish the Bill of Rights. And there's a big UN move to get that done. So I agree with you. Arnold is very special to the New World Order and very wicked. And that's why the three-hour film, 45 minutes of it, exposes Arnold. That film is Martial Law, 9-1-1 Rise of the Police State. Good to hear from you. We're going to come back and go directly to Steve, Tim, Joe, and many others. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Continuing with open phones, I would like to hear from listeners. I mean, you can bring up any subject you'd like. We don't screen your calls. That's kind of the fun of it. You never know what's coming up next, what issue, what item, what direction a caller will take us in as we spin the wheel of fortune. But wide open phones for the next 3 hours that we have left in this transmission. What do you think the biggest story of 2008 has been? And that can be the biggest hyped media story or the biggest underreported story. And what do you see happening in 2009? What are your predictions for 2009? You know, that's the big reason I canceled guests today. We had some guests. I canceled them because I've been wanting to have some shows this week where it's just callers in the news. Let's go ahead and go to Steve in New York. Steve, thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. It's great to hear from you. I listen to you quite often, as much as I can. You're a real rebel. I love it. I got three quick questions. How are you trying to, get your message to the deaf? I have a deaf member in my family, and, you know, I try my best, but, you know, for them to go onto the internet or anything is, They can't listen to your show.
Well, I mean, the deaf generally, for some reason, have higher IQs and are really smart together.
Very competent
people. I mean, at least, I mean, I guess I've worked in and around hearing impaired folks that are in the business world, so I guess maybe that's a bad sample. But they seem like really neat people to me. We have listeners from time to time that create transcripts of interviews.
Yeah.
I don't have the funds to hire a transcript outfit because, you know, an hour-long interview with an inexpensive place would cost a few hundred dollars. If somebody wants to give us an endowment, I would spend 100% of it on a transcript company to transcribe the entire show every day if enough money came in or just the guest. Or if listeners want to volunteer, which they have done from time to time, and we're very thankful for that, and then email us the transcript of the interviews, we post those. We have a lot of news articles and a lot of stories we write or other alternative commentary and analysis that we carry. But we're not a big organization. You know, that's one way government wants to shut down the free internet is make every website have the software installed that automatically transcribes everything, and that can be very expensive. And then you've got to go through the regulators, and then that will shut us down. And so that's being done by the big boys to try to stifle things. They're throwing a whole bunch at the internet right now to try to shut down the small operators.
What about closed captioning in your movies?
Well, I mean, here's another issue. I barely have the time and the energy. You know, I was here till 11:15 last night. I'm not whining. It's a passion. But I was here till 11:15 working on the Obama film. And it's myself, Aaron Dykes, and Rob Jacobson. And Rob and Aaron have some other jobs up here, videos we upload for the PrisonPlanet.tv members and other things. And we bring in a nice fellow named Michael McWhorter for some of the graphics. And he's part-time, so because I can't afford him full-time. So I would love to go out and say have it in Spanish or German, other languages, or Chinese. But again, it comes down to who we are, sir. We're a small organization that produces the amount of work that 200, 300 people would do in a major Hollywood operation. So that's why we're that's why I have sponsors. That's why I sell the books and videos, so we can try to have enough money to up our game. But we're trying to up our game even in the middle of a recession going into depression. So I appreciate your call. We need money. And again, it's a symbiotic situation. When you buy Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, you get the preeminent film, the best produced, the best information. The critics have, you know, basically said that unanimously. That's my own opinion. That Endgame is the Rosetta Stone for one two-hour film. It's about two and a half hours long. You watch that, you know who the elite are, what their program is, what they're doing, how they operate, and hopefully how to stop them. It's $19.95. You can get it for as low as $5.95 when you get it with other DVDs at InfoWars.com. And, if you buy the books and videos on the site, we'll have the money to continue. If people don't, we will stay the same size we are, maybe even get smaller. I mean, we're feeling the economy here like everybody else, ladies and gentlemen. Again, there are German versions of Terror Storm and Endgame. There are Spanish versions. We even link to them. And so rather than selling a DVD that has all the languages done, and which is tens of thousands of dollars to have multiple languages, you know, we've looked into it, done on the DVD, then it takes months more to get it out. And so we don't sell enough to do that. And then there's the time constraint of slowing it down while it's sent off to the companies that do that. You understand? I mean, this is the real world, folks. It's not just like instant gratification where I'm like a genie and I can just make things happen. And so what do? I end up linking on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com to the German or the Spanish versions on YouTube or Google, which then causes people to not buy the DVDs, which then destroys my business model where I can't fund myself. You like that catch-22? So I try to... But as I said, I appreciate your call. Take care. Again, I get calls and emails, hundreds of them a day. We need you to do this. We need you to do that. And I'm not saying don't send me ideas, but talking about something and implementing it is another thing. Okay? Now, again, I don't want to get off into the show here talking about myself, but that's okay. That's what the Wheel of Fortune brought up here, taking calls. So then I end up linking to the videos that have been, I mean, have you ever tried looking for it in other languages? There are, actually, I've seen For the Hearing Impaired. People have done versions of my films with English subtitles. So it's been done. I mean, did you look? I saw last night the Hamid Ghul interview on YouTube, and it was the first clip of like 7 or something, and it had 20-something thousand views on the Alex Jones channel that an independent guy, Dave, runs. But he's since given us the codes, and now he's volunteering and running it, but now it's officially my channel. Makes sense. It's the Alex Jones channel. We appreciate all Dave's work. But I was just looking at comments on there. You know, I spent about 30 minutes a day scanning through comments randomly. And the guy was like, hey, how come Alex Jones didn't ask Hamid Ghul about General Mahmoud Ahmed, who was later head of Pakistani intelligence, reportedly wired money to Muhammad Atta? Hey, man, I did ask him. It's on the interview. But see, I can't satisfy you. I can't even ask the question and then get credit for asking it. I have to be punished and nailed to the wall eternally. Because you didn't listen to the whole interview. But see, that's what America does. We just go off half-cocked. It's just an instant gratification. But, I mean, I did bring that up. I did press him on that. And the interview may have been a little scary for him. Who knows if he'll come back on? We're trying to get him back on right now. There's also a sacrifice you make in losing a guest if you ask the hard questions. But I did. I knocked the ball out of the park, and what do I get? I get a drink thrown in my face and told that I dropped the ball and that I lost the ball game when I hit a grand slam, thanks to my crew. So, again, I'm human, ladies and gentlemen. People now in the Patriot movement believe I'm omnipresent. If internet sites go down randomly, I'm blamed. I supposedly have these brainiacs. I can barely keep my websites up, but supposedly I'm running everything and shutting everything down. Or, if I say something like Judas Goat, there'll be someone who wrote a book called that, and they'll say, are you attacking them? No, it's a 2,000-year-old saying. Everybody, it's like if the hare lips the admiral. I don't want to whine about it, but see, we're just a nation of children, a nation of just, Meanwhile, the whole New World Order is coming down on us, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm trying to warn people about poison in the food and water, things we can prove. Oh, it doesn't matter. Let's just go back to your calls. Let's talk to common side effects in PA. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how are you doing today?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I just wanted to call in and make a comment. First, I wanted to let you know that I've been a dedicated listener to you for like the last year, and I just finally got subscribed to your site.
Yes, sir.
And it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Just want to let you know.
Thank you. That's how we fund things.
Yeah, I value the fact that you come with mostly facts and not a whole lot of opinion. Today has been a little different for me because Rastafari is a source of my, how can you say it, enlightenment, and it's not a religion, it's a way of life, and I've lived in Jamaica, and I love your information, bro, I do, but you're losing me. I don't want to lose your information.
All right, let me stop right there. When we come back, I'll talk to you about it. We've got to go to break. Stay there. Look, I can oversimplify things. It's like when we say Zionist. There's like 15 different types I know of. There's three different types of Christian Zionist. There's three different types of Jewish Zionism. I've read Marcus Garvey's book. I'm a fan of Bob Marley. You know, his son now, Ziggy, says at its base, I was talking about a particular variety of Rastafari.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.
Anyways. Anybody who denies that a large sector. And then you've got different types of Rastafarians, and you've got different types of black Israelites, and they all fight with each other. And, you know, I like Bob Marley and all the things he was saying and doing. That's different variety. But then his, you know, son has said that he transcended that, all this race business. And people who've been downtrodden, you know, they need that tribalism, that sense of community to feel good about themselves. My whole issue is I don't want to spend all day on this. I got a guy calling me up week after week telling me that whites are all the devil. Okay? And I'm saying that is a variety of the black Israelite movement. And out of the black Israel movement, if you've studied it, as you say, I've studied all these groups, you get one of the main versions of the Rastafarians. And so, are you saying that that's not part of the tenets of a large group of it, or what are you saying there, sir?
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to emphasize, I love your information, your show. I'm having issues with, I don't know, maybe it's the way you're delivering the information. I know that there's different sets of everything, and I personally am a Rasta, and I don't fight with any of these guys. And if anything, we're on indigenous people's land, and we need to really consult with these people as, you know, the original people of this area to really...
But, I mean, come on. You know the original people.
Sir. As far as Rastafari, I only suggest, Alistair, I love you, bro. I'm serious. I'm not coming with no animosity or anything. I'm just trying to, you know, rectify this because I tell all my people... Yo, listen to this cat. Don't worry about his accent. Don't worry about he's loud. I told my girlfriend. She's like, oh, well, I can't, you know, really listen. I'm like, look, baby, don't worry about his voice. He's giving up some serious info. And so when she started checking it, she started being like, oh, okay.
All right, well, let me just say this. Let me just stop you. Let me just stop you for a second. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest, A. B, I don't like getting into all this tribal infighting because even when I was trying to say it didn't matter and it was bad, maybe I didn't say it in a nuanced way enough, and then that causes more division. So I'm not saying you personally are bad. I personally like a lot of aspects of the whole Rasta movement against the New World Order, against the bankers, against the vampires. There's a lot of truth in it. I'm saying large groups of the Black Israelite movement say that whites are the wicked devil. And that's the same thing we heard about blacks, that they were the devil. And I'm just saying it's bad, and I'm against it, and I appreciate your call, sir, and God bless you. Okay? And I'm saying I grew up in Dallas where blacks and Hispanics would attack whites. And Lord knows, I'm sure there were cases of whites attacking blacks, though I never saw that and was never around it. You know, whites were these guilt-ridden, hand-wringing, you know, pathetic creatures. You know, when I grew up, I didn't have white friends sitting around going inward this, inward that. And by the way, I had a lot of black friends I played basketball with and football with and hung out at their, you know, house and stuff. And that was a few of the times I had black folks attack me. And one time I was with one of my friends who was black, and then some other black guys came up because they were racist, and we got in a fight with them. Because there's racist black people doesn't mean I'm indicting black people. I'm saying I don't indict black people because of that. But let's be honest, human beings behave the same. There's bad people in all these groups. That's the point I'm making. And if you're saying there isn't a lot of crime and a lot of black on white crime in Jamaica, you're not looking at the statistics, sir. Gosh, I want to go to more of these calls. Let's jam in another one here. Who's up next? John? Joe in New York, you're on the air.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
I know most of your listeners are adults. I have three teenagers. Should we tell our children about the New World Order? Should we educate them or even show them the videos that you have, like the Endgame, Loose Change?
Yes, I would show them and explain. That's why you want to keep your head down. That's why you don't want to use drugs. That's why you don't want to let them get you in the system, because you don't win when you're... out doing petty things. You know, the system, MTV acts like breaking windows, using drugs is fun and cool. Those are false forms of rebellion meant to trap you and get you in the system. You beat the man when you don't get in trouble and when you live well and become successful enough to help others. Stay there. We'll come right back to you, my friend. Stay there, Mike in California, Scott in Iowa, Jason in Missouri. We'll get to all of you, but first we'll go back to Joe in New York. On the other side of this quick break, and I'll tell you my police officer story from last night. And again, I'm not even attacking the police themselves. I'm attacking the mentality that's overtaking the police. Stay with us. All right, Joe in New York. Absolutely, you know, I'm already telling my six-year-old son about the New World Order. I'm trying to explain to him that in many countries, the people in uniform are bad because those countries are run by tyrants. But in some nations, the people in uniform are good, but that, and then I give him history lessons about the Romans and the rest of it. My oldest daughter is not quite ready for all of that yet because it just confuses her. But you got to start them really early explaining to them how everything works and operates, and that you can't just trust somebody. If somebody's got a green mohawk, that doesn't necessarily mean you don't trust them. It doesn't mean you trust them either until you know them. And you don't just trust somebody because they've got gray hair and wearing a suit. Or because they're wearing a uniform. That's why family comes first, because you know them and they have a stake in protecting you statistically, historically. Doesn't mean you can completely trust your family either. And you've got to teach your family, not that I'm some grand poobah, but I've learned this, not to be gullible. And not to, you know, I mean, if kids are mean to you at school, just don't talk to them anymore. I mean, I wish my parents would have told me that. I would keep trying to be nice or, you know, it took me time to figure it out. Just fine. You don't like me, good. You know, have fun. And to not care what people think about you. And that doesn't mean you come in and drop your drawers in class or have mustard stains on the front of yourself. You know, you've got to have respect for yourself. It means you keep your cards close to your vest. And, you know, I mean, I've even learned this the last few years. I mean, I've known this information, but I haven't really put it into full function. Somebody cheats me, pushes me, screws me, plays games with me now. Man, they're out of my life so fast it makes their head spin. Because I always judge the world according to myself. I mean, I'm a pretty nice guy. I'm a fair person. I have a lot of love in my heart. I'm also aggressive. And my whole life, I thought everybody was like me. Well, everybody isn't like nice people. A lot of people are scum. And the number one thing is you've got to teach your children that, you know, if you find one or two friends in your life, people you can really trust, you're a blessed person. I mean, and now society's in such crisis, the public is becoming more and more delusional. They're like in trances. They've got major studies out that the adult population is in a lower brainwave than just 20 years ago. The public is semi-awake. They're in a mesmerized green state from over 4.5 hours of TV viewing a day for an adult, more than that for a child. I mean, they're literally zombies, and they're delusional. It's like the government and the media is. People will make up little stories, little excuses for what they're going to do to you when they screw you, when they cheat you, when they, you know, do things to you. That's the general public. Then you've got the evil sociopaths and psychopaths that know what they're doing. And they're just, they're angling, you know, looking at you like they're on a rabbit hunt or something. And the minute I see somebody looking at me like that, like they're on a rabbit hunt, I just say, you know what? I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt. Get out of my life. Stay away from me right now. Because as society falls apart, as things implode, we've got to protect ourselves. All right, going back to Joe. Joe, I'm babbling at you. Does that answer your question, or is that your question?
No, that was great. I have my daughter telling me how happy she was that Obama won the election. And I'm like, why are you happy that he won the election? And she just shrugged her shoulders. And it's indoctrination by the mass media. And I can't wait for the Obama video that you have planned.
Oh, we're making it right now. Well, I mean, and again, when you tell somebody, I mean, I've had waiters and people come up to me at restaurants, and it's almost every time I'm out to eat, once or twice a week, and they say, hey, what do you think of Obama, Alex? And I go, well, you know my show. I believe they're all puppets.
Puppets,
and,
yeah.
And they say, but you like McCain? And I go, no, I don't like McCain. I'm explaining to you that it'd be like if you showed up at a car dealership and the guy showed you two cars. He had like 500 more, but he said, these are the two. These are the only two I'm selling. And one of them's blue and one of them's red, and they got the same engine in them. They were made by the same company the same year. And it isn't really a choice. Do I want a red one or a blue one? I'm like, no, wait a minute. I want to look at the other 498 cars, or I want to go look at another dealership. And see, that's my point. The same people brought us Obama that brought us John McCain. It's so elementary, but the public has been not even dumbed down. They've been mesmerized or hypnotized or bamboozled into buying into it. And I mean, and you can't blame them. I mean, people are all about the surface. They're all about political colorations. And you know, that's a propaganda term. Nothing to do with him having dark skin. But it does play into the political coloration with the dark skin because it's something tangible. Look, he's brown. And then it turns into another tribal issue of whites wanting to prove they're not racist. So it was white people predominantly that elected Obama. And then now I notice on my own Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, on my own sites, if I have an article criticizing Obama, you know, he's for the Gaza bombing, people go in there and say, you're just a racist. You just don't like Obama. or if I'm against Obama and gun control. They say, oh, you're just a racist, you don't like Obama. Or if I'm against Obama and a carbon tax on every action and every activity humans carry out paid to foreign private banks, you know, it's like, oh, you just don't like Obama. You're just a racist. No, I don't want to pay a carbon tax to private banks. No, I don't want to bomb the Gaza Strip. No, I don't want that done in my name. See, but people like it simple. They want to just, it's simple. George Bush is good. He's fighting the terrorist. You know, Barack Obama's good. He's going to get America back on track. And so a lot of it's how you approach your daughter. A lot of it is how you, you know, come at it and say, look, I would love to believe that Obama was a good guy and we're about to have change. But if it was real change instead of more tyranny, that is the change, then they would assassinate him, or they would bring out the buying the Senate seat. He's clearly involved in that with his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel. But because he's playing ball, you're not going to hear about that. Anything else, sir?
No. What are your predictions for 2009?
Well, I appreciate your call, Joe. Let me answer those, and I'm glad somebody finally brought up the points I've been asking listeners. I guess I'll start it off. I think you're going to see intensified friction and, I'd say, 80% chance, some cross-border incursions in the Kashmir region between India and Pakistan, and it could turn into full-blown war between the two nations. I'd say that's a 30-40% chance. I believe you're going to see more escalations between the United States, NATO, and Russia with more U.S. forces, when you say U.S., globalist forces, Anglo-American forces, moving in to encircle Russia. You're going to see more tyranny, more crackdowns on free speech in Russia. You're going to see new restrictions and control over the internet. I think you're going to see major internet outages in 2009, which then the government will offer a solution of internet to, you know, as the way to fix the problem they created. I believe that we will see hyperinflation accelerate. So we'll have a dead economy. I mean, literally, it's dead. Dead Main Street with an overlay of hyperinflation in certain sectors as the big private central banks buy up raw infrastructure. And so I think you're going to see sit-ins that are going to end up getting violent with police in major factory cities. And I believe by the end of 2009, you may see full-scale riots in U.S. cities. I'd say a 70% chance of that. And it's virtually, if things continue along the globalist plan, 100% by 2011. Barack Obama will bring forward a carbon tax. He will declare carbon dioxide a toxic waste. He will have a $700 million bailout package for the public, but that will only be select payoffs to crony cities, counties, and states to pay for federal unfunded mandates, which will further federalize things. I believe you will see Israel off and on continue to bombard and squeeze the Gaza Strip, which they've had under siege for years. I believe you will probably see more bombardments into southern Lebanon again against Hezbollah. I believe, I mean, it's easy predictions. We've seen a 500% increase in piracy. I believe we'll see another 500% increase in piracy in 2009 worldwide. I predict that by the end of next year, they always do it about a year and a half late, you will see crime statistics for 2008 showing a 25% on average or higher increase in violent crime and robberies. And then by 2010, we're going to get 2009 numbers. There will be a 100% increase in crime. You will see increasing draconian actions with U.S. Army and Marines running warrantless checkpoints on U.S. highways, as are going on in California right now, in San Bernardino and other areas. You will see a flaunting of the police state. You will see the propaganda intensify, worshiping the police state on the news. It's not going to be pretty. I can make a lot of other predictions, but I'd like to hear your predictions. I want to get into the cop story from last night before this hour ends, but let's continue with your calls right now. Let's go ahead and talk to Tim in PA. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi, Alex. I'd like to bring up something that I feel is going to be one of the most important opportunities that we will have in 2009 to fight the evil empire. I'm originally from Maine, and I have a brother that's been missing since way back in 1992 from Bangor, Maine. And in the years that we've been struggling, he was indicted by the federal government 2 months after he disappeared. And in the years that we've tried to get to the bottom of this, of course, we lifted up the veneer of society, and it wasn't the corruption that he stepped into. As far as the Indian lands claim money or the bank corruption up in the Northeast, but it was ultimately tied to the Franklin cover-up. And we didn't know at the time, but
haven't you sent me your brother's story before, years ago?
Well, no, actually, it's probably about 10 years ago I called into your show. And I was like the last caller, and we really didn't have a long time to talk. But we found out literally like in 2000 that he was scheduled to meet with the Maine State Attorney General the day he disappeared with some very incriminating information, and we didn't know until literally 8 years later that there was in Washington at that very time there was going to be a congressional, trying to get congressional hearings going on the whole subject.
Do you think they murdered your brother?
Well, there's no question. In 2002. A gentleman called my mom and said, I know who killed your son. And so as we developed the information that he gave us, it took us actually several years to get to the bottom of it. But actually, so right now my brother's a fugitive from justice wanted for bank fraud and money laundering by the federal government, and at the very same time there's an active murder investigation by the Maine State Police because of information that we brought them like in 2003 and 2004 that they couldn't deny.
All right, well, send me a packet of info. Maybe I'll have you on as a guest. I appreciate your call. I meant to ask him what the opportunity is in the new year, but it's a long story. Send me a packet of info on it, sir, if you want to be a guest, and perhaps I'll have you on if I'm able to get that scheduled. What I do know is DynCorp and Halliburton run giant white slavery rings worldwide for sex slavery, physical, manual labor slavery, and that's come out in major newspapers like the Chicago Tribune. And if they can get away with that in Bosnia, in Serbia, in Croatia, they can get away with that in Russia, they can get away with that in the Middle East, they can do it here. And there is a giant industrial pedophile operation in the country. That's how pedophiles work. They recruit their own people into positions of power once they get into position. And that's why every couple of weeks you hear about a Homeland Security state head caught with little kids, or you'll hear about the state police deputy head caught with little kids, or you'll hear about, a prison where they're videotaping raping the women or raping the, the 12-year-old boys here in Texas. Or you'll read about all this, and that's because it's just ongoing. And then they recruit their own people into Washington. And there's been a big pedophile ring in Washington for at least 80 years. But now it's a large portion. And a lot of evidence shows that around half of your congressmen are pedophiles. Because that's like entrance into the club. And so that's why you're always hearing about the head of missing and exploited children being caught being a pedophile, or just all these groups. It's just, you all see it in the news, and then they kind of sweep it under the rug real fast. They're horrible people. I mean, what kind of people would steal trillions of dollars and put cancer viruses in vaccines? But you've got the eugenicist above the pedophiles, and then they use a pedophile guild. They get to carry out their pedophilia as long as they serve the New World Order. And it was actually the same in Rome. If you study Rome, they had pedophile guilds by the end there that ran it. And Babylon ended up being run by pedophile guilds. They love destroying innocence. Why do Satanists sacrifice babies? Because it's the power. It's about their personal power. It's about you know, they believe they're doing this horrible act and that they're becoming, you know, just energized and more human than human because they're willing to commit something so heinous that, that's part of their strength. Again, it's like in Revenge of the Sith for all the film nerds out there, like to use a popular culture meme. You know, the Emperor says, go to the Jedi Temple and kill all the younglings. Then you will have more, enough power. And that's what Stalin and Lenin believed. That's what the Aztecs believed. That's what they do. And so it's come out even in major Missouri papers about different abortionists that even admit they're Satanists now and that it's a sacrifice and how much they love jamming the scissors in the back of the partial birth abortion baby's head. And when it begs and pleads and grabs at the scissors and flails. You ever seen a baby like when it's newborn and you move it and it acts like it's about to fall over? It doesn't have balance. It kind of puts its hands up to protect itself. They love that. See, you don't like hearing about a baby having scissors jammed in the back of its head and then a suction sucker sucking its brains out. But to a Satanist, it's beautiful. To them, it's about snuffing out that new beautiful life, that little shoot of green coming up out of the ground. It's about dominating and winning over goodness and evil prevailing, and they just burn with what they describe as like a white light when they're doing it. And to them, trash cans full of dead babies is beautiful. Hitler just loved watching burning cities and piles of dead bodies. It was beautiful to him. See, it's beautiful. They're creating a world that's beautiful to them. It's beautiful. To us, it's hell. To them, it's wonderful. It's magic. It's beauty. We'll be right back.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John, Big John,
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home.
Jason, Scott, Andrew, Jeremy, and many others, I'm going to continue with your calls in the next hour. I need to go ahead and tell the police story from last night. It's not that big of a deal. It just lets you know that you're going into a third world country. I pulled out of my office, went down the side street, 11:15 last night. I looked down the frontage road of 290, and I see a police car racing along doing about 75 miles an hour, and it's a three-lane frontage. And as soon as he pulls past me, I pull out into the slow lane, and then I start getting over to get on the highway in the center lane. And from way behind me, had to be going about 80, a APD racing. But I didn't know it was an APD yet. He didn't have his lights on. He didn't have his cherries, his flashers on. And he races right up on my hind end. I mean, right up on my hind end. And I don't get into road rage stuff, folks, most of the time. 99% of the time, I don't ever, end up responding. I've had somebody pull a truck in front of me earlier this year and jump out and I went ahead and got out and I said, look, man, just don't touch me. I said, let me go. I try to stay out of it. And this car races right up on me. And by then, I'd already accelerated up to about 55, to get over and get on the highway. And there was a whole other lane right beside me. He could have gone around. And I go, I think that's a cop. And he just almost hit me. He flew out around me. And I said, oh, my God. And he pulls right up beside me, and I go, ah, and shines his spotlight in on my face. And he's right up beside me, almost hitting the car. And then he goes flying off down the highway, and I almost followed him. But then he'd have probably gunned me down or something and said I was Al-Qaeda. And I guarantee you, he was a steroid head back from Iraq. He's probably been greasing Iraqis all day, and thinks it's funny. These guys that... And there was another cop car ahead of him, but it had already sped on over the highway and then it exited off on Congress. The other guy exited before that, 435. And I almost called 911, but I said, what, call the man, call the establishment and tattle? That cop's been hired to act like a thug. He's been hired to squeeze the slaves and let us know that he's the boss. And, as much as I want to hold up good police, you know, the point is this guy violently pulled up behind me, and then that wasn't enough. So I didn't pull out in front of him. You know, he was way down the road. You know, tiny headlights when I pulled out, but I didn't realize he was going 75, 80 miles an hour. But instead of just shooting around me, he didn't like it that a slave was out in the road, that a slave, you know, was going home. And so, but it wasn't enough to come, I mean, right up, folks. I was like, his windshield, I looked out my windshield. I mean, the windshield was right there, and I could tell it was a cop car then. And I was like, my God, this cop is right on my tail. I mean, 80 miles an hour, whoom, right up behind me. They probably would have tasered me if he'd have hit me. Probably, you son of a bitch. You caused a cop to wreck. Get him out. Beat him. Probably just started slamming my head in the ground. Blood splattering everywhere. I mean, that's how they act. I see reports all the time where cops beat people up they run into. So, I mean, I ran into a dangerous person last night, and thank God I made it home to my family. The issue is, he needs to get in trouble for that, or she, whoever this nutcase was, because it wasn't enough then to endanger everybody on the road. They had to then shine light in my face to let me know, hey, we're the boss, slave. Just keep the paycheck coming.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
But last night, having that cop car almost rear-end me, and it wasn't enough for him. See, he gets to have road rage, gets to act like an idiot. And I guess that's the type of people that want that job more and more. And then that's not enough. Not only does the cop car fly up behind me, and I'm not sure it's a cop car at first, then he comes around and brings his car right up, almost running into me. Again, he has no regard even for his own safety. I mean, forget me, a slave. I'm just here to pay paychecks. What about him? I mean, he really wants to slam into an SUV. He pulls in, almost hits me right up beside me, shining a light in my face to let me know, hey, Iraqi, I rule you. You want to go to Abu Ghraib? And he probably flashed back. He's back in Austin. I mean, you want to go to, you know, the jail downtown? And I kind of got angry. I almost followed him, and I just said, no, they'll kill you. They'll kill you and set you up. 9 times out of 10. Because I was going to go and say, officer, what's your problem? You almost rear-ended me, and then you pulled up beside me. That's reckless driving. But I didn't want to race up. This guy was going 80, and I was going like 55. I didn't want to race up and get the car number. You know, I missed that. I mean, I guarantee you, folks, if I ran up on a cop like that, 80 miles an hour, right up on their hind end, that cop would flip out, slam on the brakes, pull you over, taser you. Because you're running around with a deadly weapon, menacing people with it. But no. I, as a slave, scum citizen that's only here to have the banks steal everything from me, the offshore banks, I not only get to have him almost rear-end me, you know, right up on my hind end. I mean, this went on for like 15 seconds with him right up, just going in and out, right up behind me. Then I get to have the cop pull around and shine a light in my face and then act like he's going to hit my car. A cop going crazy. You got a cop with a gun going crazy on the highway with you for no reason. When there were lanes he could have gone around you on. And the issue is, I guarantee you, it's a gang member psychology. I guarantee if other cops saw that, they'd probably laugh about it. Did you see that guy? You know, it's like the videos of them rubber bulleting a city, you know, person in a red dress in the face in Miami. The woman's done nothing wrong. She's standing there with a sign protesting, so they rubber bullet her in the face. She's bleeding. And then it cuts back to the cops in front of the news cameras going, you see how funny it was when we shot her in the face? No, it's not funny, all the people you've killed with rubber bullets. And you'll never take responsibility for what you've done. Every day I see an article where somebody's tasered and dies, and then the police say, oh, it's a new syndrome where people just happen to die at the same time that we taser them. It has nothing to do with a taser. And again, I have no desire to get up here and bash police. Hey, let me tell you, your whole future's being ruined too, bud. And you know what? I guess with wisdom, not that I'm wise, but I'm a little more wisdom than I used to, comes understanding. So I was mad for about 15 minutes about it driving home, 10 minutes driving home. And then I just realized, I just said, you know what? We've all done things that are wrong. I just hope that guy, whoever he is, matures before he kills himself or kills somebody else. But then I thought of something else. They don't give us the benefit of the doubt. That's what zero tolerance is all about. You know, a 10-year-old girl has Hall's over-the-counter, is sold in the candy section. Cough drops, doesn't matter. They go ahead and, you know, send her to the principal's office, kick her out of school. Zero tolerance. See, it's zero tolerance for us, but not for them. And that's the classical mark of tyranny. But I want to ask the cops something. Do you want your kids growing up in a society where there are people out on the streets like you?
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
No, but I'll tell you what happened last night driving home. I realized that was probably some young former military person, brain completely fried from PTSD. He's going to have a ruined life, going to have a horrible marriage, horrible children, not going to have any financial future. And I didn't even take pleasure in that. You know, sickos that work for the government and do bad things in the past, I've kind of chortled and said, oh, yeah, you think you're the pet puppy. You think you're going to be protected. You think evil's cute. You'll get yours. You know, now it's not even that. I just feel sorry for the person. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's embarrassing to flaunt authority and flaunt power and abuse it. I mean, I would be embarrassed as a citizen to aggressively run up on somebody's tail just to mess with them. And we know there's idiots out there that do that. You can even be in the slow lane, go on the speed limit, and they do it. They got attitude problems. They feel cocooned psychologically in their cars. And there's been a lot of studies done on this, so they do these wild things they wouldn't do in person. They've also found out with email. People will send really aggressive things in email, and then when confronted in person about it, they apologize and can't believe they did it because they're disconnected from reality. So this guy, you know, menaces me with a deadly weapon, a 3,000-pound car, flies around, almost hits me, shines a light in my eyes, and I know I pulled out with blinkers on, you know, way ahead. He just, like, it was the Indy 500, and I wasn't supposed to be going down the highway. And it was about his little personal exercise of power. I mean, I would be embarrassed to run up on somebody and then fly around them and then shine a light in their face to just let them know I'm the boss. It was blinding, too. I'm like, it's nighttime, and there's this light shining in my face. And I see that kind of, I see cops driving like maniacs through neighborhoods, like maniacs down the road. They're not going anywhere. They don't have their lights on. Then you'll see other cops that drive the exact speed limit. One time I was on I-35, and the guy was driving exactly 60 in some city. And I had my cruise control set about at 61. And I started driving past him, and he pulled up and said, "Slow down. You will go 60. So you've got the other, the opposite of that. The point is that I don't enjoy being menaced by a car. I want to get home to my family. And maybe that cop hadn't been in a bad car wreck yet, but I would imagine he's seen a few bad ones. I mean, I respect cars. I know how deadly dangerous they are. I've almost been killed in a few car wrecks, and But I guarantee you, if you walked up to that guy in a restaurant and confronted him about it, he would apologize or make a joke about it probably. But see, it's that unconsciousness in the uniform, on the power trip. And as Americans, we kind of put on this New World Order uniform ourselves. You know, we feel like, hey, I got pride. We're bombing them Arabs over there. America's hitting the terrorists. I mean, I remember in 1991, I hadn't read None Dare Call It Conspiracy yet. I was just about to read it. I was 16. And I remember being over at friends' houses, eating pizza in front of the TV, going, wow, look at those missiles shoot to that window. Yeah, USA. And I remember a few days later driving with all the American flags on cars. I remember going, you know, it's kind of sick. You know, something in my psyche told me, you know, this big, powerful nation attacking this other country. And I just didn't feel right. And then later I learned that Saddam was set up and told to invade Kuwait and the rest of it. But I guess it's just that the American people don't grow up. And then I was thinking about things I've done bad in my life, you know, when I was younger. And I was realizing that all of us flux back and forth between good and evil, unless you're totally turned over to evil, and then you just revel in it and get deeper and deeper into it. The psychopath, the sociopath, the psychopathic sadist, the worst type out there. And I was thinking about, you know, mistakes in life that I've made. And then I just thought about, okay, in my name, 3 million Iraqis are dead, 1.5 million the last 5 years. In my name, I live in the country with all of the worldliness and the corruption and all of it that has killed more than 50 million babies. And so I just always now kind of think to myself, what do you expect? Of course you're going to have cops tasering people to death all over the place. Of course you're going to have cops driving like psychopaths and coming right up on your hind end. Of course you're going to have a corrupt government. Of course you're going to have a government that stages terror attacks. Of course you're going to have all this evil go on, because we had an evil New World Order 100 years ago and trying to take over the United States at the time. But we didn't have a people who could be twisted by the media to believe that killing babies is some wonderful, fun little right that we have, and that it's some feminist empowerment. I mean, really, what do we expect? And just like the police now say, well, it's a syndrome in England and Germany and Canada, the U.S., where people are tasered, you know, these young people, 10, 12, 15, you know, 20 years old, 25. They're not on drugs in many of the cases. The cops always say, well, he was on drugs, that's why he died. Then they test the blood. There's no cocaine, no heroin. They die, and they say, well, it's a new syndrome. They got so scared by the officers, they had a heart attack and died. With no medical evidence. It's just made up. But see, that's more mental sophistry, more excuses, more lying to ourselves. Just like they say, oh, a baby's just a blob of tissue. It's not a person. And then see, once you accept abortion, especially partial birth abortion, then you accept euthanasia of the old. And they advertise like it's a right, but the state is killing people that don't want to be killed. And then, why not have part human, part cow, part human, part pig, so we can grow these babies inside the uteruses of animals and then harvest them and get larger, you know, usable organs. Yes, that's going on. That's been going on for a decade that I know of. I remember in 1997 seeing it in the BBC, 11 years. And see, people didn't want to face up to that then. They'd email me or call me and say, you're a liar, there's not human-cow hybrids. Or you're a liar, there's not spider goats. Or you're a liar. Well, now that it's all admitted and been on the news enough, people just think, oh, big deal, so what? Well, if an Iraqi doesn't have value, and if a 7-month-old baby in a womb doesn't have value, you're not going to have value when you're old. They're going to get rid of your butt. You're not going to have value now. See, when you don't care about anybody but yourself, society falls apart around you. And the globalists knew that. They wanted us to only care about ourselves so we could be isolated and cornered, so that we could be controlled and dominated. And so when a police officer dominates a fellow citizen, abuses their power, they disgrace their uniform, they disgrace their family name, and they hurt their own country and the atmosphere that their children are going to grow up in. And no amount of making jokes or laughing or saying, ah, get over it, ah, whatever, make a big deal out of it. No amount of, ah, we're, none of us are perfect, whatever. No amount of those making excuses is going to make it okay. And so we all curse each other. We all hurt each other. Go ahead and play that spider goat clip. You know, I got an email the other day saying, I'm a liar, there's no spider goats. And so I just Googled spider goats, and this is what came up, mainstream TV program, here it is.
These are very special goats. Within their genetic makeup is one spider silk gene.
In a spider, the gene is responsible for the making of so-called dragline silk, the strongest natural fiber known to science. Dragline is the silk favored for the radii of the web and to suspend from. It's a spider's lifeline. How do you get the gene into the goat? You start with the embryo.
All right, let's stop there. That's enough. Yeah, so they go in and put this into the embryo. Now, they tell you they change one gene. Well, you know, we've had the head of the one company the U.S. Army's funding in upstate New York on a few years ago. When they randomly change that one gene, it then randomly, each successive generation, and by the way, they're breeding these goats, creates random genetic mutations from the original spider gene. Now, I've got another clip about superhumans, and believe me, this is already going on. We're going to play that when we come back, and then I'm going to go to more of your calls. But, I mean, why do people think I'm lying that there's hundreds of government documents that they're setting up a world government? Why do people think I'm lying about spider goats? Why do they think I'm lying? I'm not lying about any of this. But see, it's the denial. It's, oh, there's no spider goats. Oh, those aren't babies in the womb. It's just a blob. Oh, they're not dying from tasers. They just drop dead, part of a new syndrome. Oh, so what if one in 25,000 did have autism and now it's one in 86? That's just over-reporting. Oh, really? When I was a kid, there were no autistic children in the school. Now you go to take your kid to Ratatouille and the front two rows are autistic. They have whole wings, very major public school full of the kids. And if you think drooling in the corner, you know, they're faking it, you got anything coming. No, their brains are being attacked. If you think 1 in 33 dying of cancer in the 50s was bad, now it's 1 in 3. You got all these juvenile onset of diabetes and cancer. I mean, the statistics don't lie here. We're in a lot of trouble, folks. And come back. Take more of your calls. Got a lot of news coming up. Stay with me. It's Open Phones. Jason Scott, Andrew, Jeremy, Pat, we're going to you here momentarily. Here's another mainstream media clip.
You're on
dealing with
personal.
The elites wanting to create, quote, superhumans. More than that, they want to breed the general public to not be aggressive, to not be independent. And that's what Brave New World talks about, which was based on the plan of the British eugenicist. And Huxley's on record saying that. His brother ran the United Nations eugenics operation. He was the head of UNESCO. So this is the plan they are carrying out against us. All right, let me go ahead and play that clip dealing with the superhumans.
With the recent sequencing of the human genome, the genetic blueprint for human beings, it is now possible to isolate genes responsible for various human characteristics. The temptation is to begin the process of engineering our own future evolution.
All genes in every single living organism on the earth are made with DNA. If you can give a mouse, a jellyfish gene, which makes the mouse glow in the dark. You can do the same thing with a human baby, although I'm not saying this should ever be done. It's mind-boggling to say that any biological property that exists anywhere in the living world, in any organism, could be brought into human beings. This is really quite amazing. Scientists are partly to blame for the lack of knowledge, because scientists always want to keep things quiet. They're afraid that if people understood where this technology could go, they would completely freak out. No rational academic scientist will admit to wanting to find genes that are going to be useful for enhancement. However, it's going to happen as a byproduct of the Human Genome Project. And then the question becomes, we'll have the knowledge, will people use it?
There are so many potential benefits, such as protecting people from genetically inherited illnesses. But it doesn't stop there.
If you go step by step through this process, you're basically replicating evolution, but you're doing it a million times faster. We know so much more about genes, for example, that determine physical attributes. The other kinds of things that are coming forth more quickly than we thought are mental characteristics. We already know of some genes that give somebody a predisposition to think in a certain way.
Think in a certain way? Get ready for a brave new world coming your way soon. Though scientists claim to have moral concerns about genetically enhancing humans, it is surely inevitable that someone, somewhere, use the technology for this purpose.
The problem is that there is no clear line between overcoming disease and providing enhancement.
Okay, let's stop right there. Yeah, it goes on to talk about how the highly evolved will dominate us, the suboid slaves, and how the elite plan to split us into two species. In fact, finish up that end part. Play that for folks. Here it is.
Such highly evolved superhumans will be far superior to their humble ancestors. Stronger, healthier, more intelligent. They will be as different to us as we are to earthworms. And if that's so, what's to stop them stepping on us?
Scientists don't want to believe this, but anybody who studies genetics, you realize that.
All right, let's stop. That's enough. Now, look, now, here's the deal. The geneticists, the head of the UN, they're all on record. It's in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. They're on record saying that's what they are doing with this, that it is diabolical. It is for control. Because they say, well, we're cold-blooded scientists, and it's survival of the fittest, so anything we do to dominate you, anybody we kill, anybody we destroy, that was a manifestation of our fitness, and that we were more fit than you, and that you didn't have the will to dominate and to kill and to mutate and to dumb down, and so you don't have a right to inherit the future. So see, this is introducing it to the public of, oh, it could be used for bad, oh, it may be, oh, a byproduct of the Human Genome Project. You know where the Human Genome Project is based? Cold Springs Harbor. The United States Eugenics Records Office and Testing Facility. And then I put him in my film, Mr. Watson, the discoverer of the DNA double helix, saying he's a eugenicist, and you know, he wrote books about it and saying all this. He's the head of the human genome. He was there in the 40s when it was still officially the eugenics organization. Now, he headed up the Genome Project till last year. 6 months after Endgame came out, he came out and said blacks weren't human, remember? Well, see, he was already a star in Endgame because we knew what he was. We didn't need the media to come around and tell us. Now, some of you are racist and say, well, I don't like blacks, go ahead and kill them. Well, let me give you a little newsflash. The real target of the eugenicist is what they call their competition, and they believe their competition is Northern Europeans. So that's who they're really targeting. We'll be right back. You see, everything is a weapons race. Genetic engineering is a weapon, a race. A race to dominate and control the food supplies. It's a race. Everything is a race. To get this New World Order in place, And so that's why the globalists rationalize all the corrupt things they engage in, all the horribly abusive, dehumanizing operations they carry out. They go, oh, humans are a barbarous creature. If we don't guard the sacred destiny of man with a bodyguard of wickedness and destruction and deceit, then evil will prevail. But when you really study the elites, they are the inculcation, you know, the very personification of dehumanization. They have lost their humanity. They are aberrant. They are malfunctioning. They are engaged in a crime against their own species. All right, let's blitz through some of your phone calls. Is Tim up next, John? Jason in Missouri. Go ahead, Jason.
How you doing, Alex?
Good.
Good. It's an honor to speak with you. I've listened to you for last 3 years. You're a pretty amazing guy.
Oh, come on. I'm just fighting the New World Order, man. I'm just doing what any normal person would do, learn about this. But I appreciate you listening. What's on your mind?
Just that, you know, trying to get people's eyes open to what's going on, you know. I mean, it's amazing, you know, what would they deploy, 20,000 more troops? You know, well, they say that, you know, that's official news, 20,000, you know, that was what they put, you know, into Georgia.
Well, let's be clear. For decades, they were secretly gearing up, preparing for it, saying it didn't exist while they were preparing to take over the country. Now they're claiming, oh, yes, 20,000 combat troops from the Army, thousands from the Marines, thousands from the Navy. We're federalizing the National Guard. The executive is a dictatorship. Congress has no authority under PD 51. I mean, just open dictatorship. Wall Street runs the executive. Wall Street can't be reviewed. Wall Street can have trillions a week of taxpayer money. I mean, it is corruption to the power of a billion. It is just the ultimate in your face obvious. And then everything we warned people about was true. It's all coming true now. And still the public just sucks their thumb that much harder.
And you're exactly right, and I'm going to tell you a little quick story about I angered my in-laws this, you know, over the holidays about, you know, bringing up these issues and you know, kind of, you know, I was using some of your, you know, I was kind of, you know, using, you know, some of your language and because I, you know, I've researched what you talk
they
about.
They got angry because deep down they know it's true. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, just take for what you hear and, you know, always just believe it. You know, I research it too, you know, just like anybody would, you know. I mean, just because I hear it, I don't necessarily believe it.
I understand.
Everything.
Good.
So, I mean, you know, research and they, you know, what the response was to me, I'd just rather be blind to it. I was like, well, the poison's working then.
Well, you're right. A lot of people say, I know it's true, but I just don't care. And they get this little selfish smile on their face that by denying it, it's somehow, or saying they don't care, it somehow gives them power over it. And what those are people that have zero respect for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can be that close-minded, you know, I mean, open your eyes, people. I mean, you know, I heard earlier, you know, which I'm going back a little ways. You know, people were accusing you of being racist. I remember about 2 months ago, whenever you know McCain and Obama were battling it out, and you know, people were calling you racist at that point. You know, criticizing you, and you know, and I can't quote you word for word what your reply was, but it was something along the lines of, you know, if I was racist, well, I'd want Obama in there because he's going to be the fall guy anyway. I don't want to make him look bad.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And it's going to create incredible racial tension because that's what multiculturalism does. It makes people focus on their differences. It makes people obsess over it all day. And it's already started. Rush Limbaugh is playing, you know, these audio clips about these... what the name of the song is, Super Negro or Magical Negro. Yeah, Puff the Magic Negro. We're going to play it next hour. And again, that is meant to make this all racial, and that will actually galvanize people to support Obama, especially whites, because they don't want to be part of that racism. And, I mean, no one else but Limbaugh, who's a government psyop, could get... And again, Limbaugh says put everybody in jail for drugs, but then he can be a drug addict and he doesn't get in trouble. Because, again, this thing is set up for the corrupt. Anything else?
Well, I mean, you know, I got a lot, but I know you got limited time. You know, one thing, you know, you was talking about to a gentleman not about an hour. I've been on hold for about an hour and some minutes, but when I first got on there, you was talking about, you know, a guy mentioned to you what you expect to go on through 2009, you know, and you talked about, you know, of course, inflation, which is you see now, you know, I'm still making the same hourly. Well, actually, I'm one of the ones that got laid off, but, you know, hopefully I get, you know, I get unemployment, but I still get that same amount of money, but yet, you know, green beans might end up costing me $3 a can. You know what I mean?
It's very serious, and I appreciate your call. We got to move on, or folks will still be on hold for an hour. Scott in Iowa, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good.
When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, huh?
When you just can't go along with it anymore, you got to put yourself up against it.
You got to put your body up against the levers, and that the people who operate the machine know that you won't let the machine operate unless you are free. Okay? I just was calling because of the kid you had call yesterday, the 14-year-old or 15-year-old from the high school up there in Minnesota or wherever it was.
Yeah, we had him on as a guest.
And that kid is amazing, and I commend him so much, and I would have done anything to have been woken up at that age. But unfortunately, I woke up about 2 or 3 years ago. I had a friend in the big city I live in, close to Mississippi and Iowa, and a friend close to the Arsenal told me you got to watch this Loose Change video, so I watched it. And we came to the conclusion that, well, obviously the administration knew and let it happen, but, you know, they aren't behind it. They're obviously patsies. We didn't just get who was really behind us all. So 2 weeks later, my aunt hands me a video called Freedom to Fascism. And this is why the banking system is so the most important issue to me. And I've done my fair share of waking people up, and I live in a small town of about 6,000, and I've woken up quite a few people. I've actually woken up one of the local police officers, and he quit the force, which I tried to talk him out of. I wanted him to try to wake up other officers, but anyway, that's how I woke up once I understood the banking system. And I think that's the main issue, if people just understood just how the system works, you know, and people don't.
Exactly,
but
Scott.
You're great. You're amazing. You do a great job. You speak the truth. And that kid is great. I love him. I really like that kid.
He is fantastic. Scott, keep it up, man. I appreciate your call. Keep waking folks up in your area. Another way they control us is they tell you, oh, well, you're not an adult till you're 18, you know, 20 years old, whatever. And they tell you, go out, have fun, don't be an adult, don't have responsibility. And then by then you're 25 years old, you're in deep debt, you know, to go to college. And, you know, your life's already partly over. And a big part of the best part of your life is over. You're meant to be getting, I mean, there were quite a few signers of the Declaration of Independence that were 25, 26, 27 years old. And many of them had been homeschooled. Back then, you would be homeschooled, most people were. And then you would go take the bar exam, or you would go take the college exam. Or you would go take the medical exam, and then you would apprentice. If you could pass the medical exam, you would then be an assistant for a few years to a surgeon or to a physician. Or you would then go to one of the higher academies. It was the same for lawyers, blacksmiths, you know, whatever the profession was. And I mean, people owned companies. They were out captaining ships when they were 20-something years old. And people are so amazed by somebody who gets involved when they're young now. I mean, I see this as I got started late. I woke up when I was about 16, started studying, and it still took me 4 years to figure out I want to go on the air and warn people. So people marvel that I was on the air when I was 20. I was an old man when I was 20. You know, in ancient cultures, people became men when they were about 12 or 13. And they would be given responsibility. And if you give a young person responsibility early on, instead of treating them like little children, they will become responsible, daring, intelligent people. But if you don't, That's why I love farming communities, you know, the areas that are still surviving. I mean, you'll see 11-year-olds driving the big hay truck with the big machines behind it with the adults, you know, putting the, you know, the hay in, running the machines. Or you'll see 13-year-olds, you know, out there driving the tractors and shredding, or you'll see 12-year-olds in there sweeping out the big chicken coops in the morning and coming in and putting the fresh feed down. People are like, oh, that poor child, they have to work. That person's 100 times happier than the little sugar head who's on Prozac, you know, in there watching 14 hours of TV a day. And so we've been destroyed by the great plenty that we had, and we've turned into a bunch of decadent slobs. We have to turn that around. I would just tell young people, folks, stay out of the system. Don't let them institutionalize you. If your parents send you to a government training camp, keep your head down. Don't care about the cliques and the cool kids and the this group or the that group. And so, I mean, let me tell young people a secret. If you stop caring about people in high school, you'll basically turn into the most popular person in school overnight. And then you'll find out that that's a prison. It's not even fun. I mean, I know that by the time I was a junior and senior in high school, I was hanging out with the college kids, and I wanted to go camping and hiking and hunting, and you know, I wanted to date the college girls when I was 16, 17. And I'm not saying I'm some advanced person. I'm not. The point is that you don't want to stay. It's not even stay a teenager. It's like some false mode they put people in. And I see all these adults, 35, 40, 50 years old, still trying to act trendy. And who they are is, you know, what little trendy group they're in, whether it's a cowboy hat or dreadlocks or whatever. And I don't care if you got a cowboy hat or dreadlocks. That's fine as long as you're more than just your style. As long as it's your integrity. It's who you are. It's what you stand for. That's who you are, not how you dress or how you look. I mean, I got short hair because I don't like messing with it in the morning. Comb it straight back, and however it falls for the day, that's how it looks. And I don't like people seeing me as some preppy goody two-shoes because I just dress moderately clean-cut. And I'm a white guy. You know, I'm tired of everything being boiled down to these stereotypes. And I try not to look at people through a stereotype. It's been a long time since I had a whole show, nothing but calls. This is kind of crazy today. Let's talk to Andrew in Colorado. Andrew, go ahead. Your phone sounds like an electric razor. I'm going to let you go in a second. Do you have anything to say? Okay, let Andrew go. Goodness gracious. Jeremy in Canada. You're on the air, Jeremy.
Oh, that was funny. Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, as I was waking up, going through history and learning all the stuff about how we moved into this continent and a lot of the wars that went on. And it kind of struck me that, man, is it really all over? Like, is current society not like that anymore? I mean, that was one of the things that really kind of got me.
Yeah, there's always subterfuge, always secret societies, always corruption. And then they told us, oh, no, that doesn't exist anymore. The government's good. Everything's fine. They love you.
And they tell us about all the millions of Indians that got killed with the smallpox and all the genocide that's going on now. I mean, did it ever really stop?
No, it didn't ever really stop. And the textbooks now, they want you to feel guilty as if you committed those crimes so that you'll do whatever the new cultural priest tell you is how you find salvation, you know, how you buy a modern indulgence. And so you do that by paying a carbon tax. It has nothing to do with the earth, nothing to do with helping indigenous peoples. In fact, the carbon tax is written to starve the third world and destroy Africa. But instead, they dress it all up as liberal, you know, religion when it's not even liberal. Again, they just scramble all the terms together. And so, I mean,
you're saying about the high school stuff there too, because even the language is built so that we have a paradigm of thought and a paradigm of or structure of communication that only fits with the current society. And the second you start using terms differently or start using concepts differently, it becomes difficult to communicate within that framework.
And that's what Orwell talked about. Everything is about destroying language where you can't even communicate with people.
Well, and we see that in the science of, or the philosophy of science. Every paradigm shift, they have difficulty even communicating between the paradigms.
And this is the ultimate paradigm shift. I mean, for better or worse, for, you know, whether it's going to be good or bad, and it all looks like it's going to be bad, everything is in crisis. Everything is in upheaval. And the elite are trying to be omnipresent. They're trying to play God, but they aren't. They're able to steer things. They're able to exercise and wield great power, but they are not in control.
I got to tell you another thing, too, Alex. I was so proud of some of the messages you were sending that I actually named my son after you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's such an honor. And, well, you're just so nice. I really appreciate that.
I got a couple questions concerning some of the products you have, too, like Ecolo Blue and how effective it would be in Canada here with our dry climate. And would you happen to know if anyone has told you about that? Or
I didn't know Canada had a dry climate.
Well, it's just the cold weather and all.
Man, all I know is that it does 7.5 gallons in regular humidity. The lowest they say it does is about 3.5 gallons. Our problem is it produces so much water, we've got to remember to drink it and get it out of there. I mean, it's got a UV light over it, but I mean, we've got the smallest unit they've got. I've got one at my house and one at the office, and this thing produces, it's wonderful. I mean, it's like a water cooler without a water cooler top on it.
I got to say, some of your guests are just incredible, like this Dr. Lebo that you had on a few weeks ago, and her general husband there talking about the chemtrails. You know, I thought back to my past, and I remember all those chemtrails as a kid thinking that, you know, something's up, but never really tying the lines together. And just
well, by the way, it has really upset the establishment, and so they've got a lot of operatives attacking General Stubblebine and Dr. Lebo right now. And you listen to the attacks, I've heard them a million times. You know, the same type of attacks is definitely COINTELPRO. So those guys are definitely doing a good job, and that's why they're under attack right now. It's really sad. You know, they're upset to have a major general, three-star general, speaking out. Anything else, sir?
Sure, I'll wait for the break here.
Okay, stay there, Jeremy. We'll come back to Pat, Joshua, David, and others.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
We're going to go live at PrisonPlanet.tv in 5 minutes. PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. I will continue with your phone calls in the next hour for Pat, Joshua, David, many others. I want to hear your predictions for 2009 and what you think the most overlooked stories of 2008 were. 1-800-259-9231. Also, don't forget, sponsors make this show possible. And since Jeremy, I'm going to go back to here briefly in a moment, brought it up, Ecolo Blue, EcoloBlue.com, ladies and gentlemen, is the best atmospheric water filter we found out there. These are really hot right now. And because it's really neat, it grabs the water out of the air, the humidity. 7.5 gallons a day on average. It can do more. It can do less. But it's guaranteed to do like 3.5. Just go to their website and check it out, EcoloBlue.com. And this will get you water out of the air in the desert. ECOLOBlue.com or 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044. And then it puts it through five filters once it's inside there. And then another one of our sponsors is My Solar Backup. And the solar backup, folks, is another great system. We've got links to that, banners up on Infowars.com if you want to go check that out and find out more about that there on the site. MySolarBackup.com. It's one word, and a lot of things can cut off your electrical power. Well, our great sponsor, Solutions from Science, has found the best unit they think out there for the price, and it's MySolarBackup.com. It's designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage, and it's the battery system, the power plant, the solar panel, all for one very competitive price. MySolarBackup.com or 877-327-0365. Or again, give them the number. Take the number. It's 877-327-0365. Give them a call. Okay, closing out this hour. Next hour is going to be a news blitz. I've just got so much here I haven't even gotten to yet today, but we've taken a lot of your calls and gone a lot of different directions. But fourth hour is going to be special today, so please stay with us for that. Finishing up, Jeremy in Canada real fast, you had a question?
Actually, Alex, I'll take as much time as you'll give me. Five other diversion things.
Well, we'll just go ahead because we're about to start the next hour.
Excellent. You might have heard of Kevin Atwood in Canada concerning the ongoing genocide here with the Indians.
Yes, and have I had Kevin Atwood on? I need to have Kevin Atwood on, Genocide of the Indians, because that's even admitted in major papers that they just take the native children and kill them at these government foster care facilities, and it's just outrageous. Again, this is not loving liberal governments. That's only their front. These are eugenicists.
And that's ongoing now on our watch, and they're still going through litigation. They're stealing the land and lots of other resources, too. So,
amazing. Thanks for reminding me of that big case up in Canada.
Also, with one of your guests there, you talked about with Dr. Lebo. I think she was with the Codex Alimentaria stuff. Was that Dr. Lebo?
Yes, they are successfully, along with many other groups, fighting and exposing the international takeover of vitamins and nutrients, the attempt to ban them and make them prescription. Yeah. And then I've seen a simultaneous attack on them and others because I know they're putting out accurate info. And the attacks are classic COINTELPRO. I've been seeing it everywhere. And it's a classic textbook they use to turn folks against effective activists. I appreciate your call. So, I mean, that's why you see myself under attack, people like them under attack, because they're really worried about articulate, effective people out there getting the word out. I appreciate your call. Pat, Joshua, David, many others, your calls are straight ahead with a jam-packed fourth hour. Stay with us. Hello, friends. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv, simulcasting the fourth hour of my syndicated radio broadcast. I'm Alex Jones. The news websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and PrisonPlanet.tv. I'm taking some phone calls this hour to hear your predictions for 2008, what you're most concerned about with the economy, militarily, what's happening in Israel and Gaza, also the huge flare-up in tensions between the two nuclear-powered nations of India and Pakistan. Why is it all happening now? Why is everything intensifying, all the different crises across the planet? We'll go over some of the latest news concerning what's happening in Gaza, a bunch of other important police state news that I have here in front of me today. And we will be taking your phone calls, again, as I said, at 1-800-259-9231. Story here that is out of the Democrat Herald, and this story, again, is out of Oregon. And the governor of Oregon is in here saying that we have to have satellite tracker boxes in all of your cars to raise money for the roads. And then he goes on in the article to deceptively put out the same lie we've been hearing for a decade, that gas receipts are down. Well, if you simply go and you look at the fact that this country a decade, 12 years ago, was using 15 million barrels a day. At its height, 23 million barrels. That's dropped down to about 20. So 20 million barrels a day, and the gross tax receipts for the states and the feds are way up. So the claim that they've got to track you by the mile and turn your car into a taxi cab, this is to track and control you. They're doing this in Europe, doing this in England. They're trying to do it in Texas, New Jersey, California. But Oregon has got it introduced in the legislature. The feds are paying for tests all over the U.S. where they advertise that you get paid. In the case of a study they're doing in Austin, $700-something bucks a year to put a satellite tracker box in your car and tax you by the mile. know, they're paying you to beta test this. This is total Big Brother, tracking and tracing everywhere you go and taxing you by the mile. Then you're going to hear that counties, cities, and states are bankrupt. Counties, cities, and states, water districts, school districts, the tens of thousands of government entities, quasi-governmental entities, they, for more than 50 years, have set up a double set of books called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports. And with the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, they've taken on average 65%, some places are more, some places less, and they invest that in offshore bank accounts. And then these international consortiums later make payoffs to the former city managers, mayors, and others to be part of this. It is open crime, open racketeering, and every city and county engages in it. The state of Texas has tens of billions of dollars of surplus every year, trillions of dollars total in liquid assets. The Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for the city of Manhattan showed several trillion dollars just in a decade. That, again, is invested in offshore banks who then leverage the money with fractional reserve banking, loaning out 10 times as much real reserves as they have. Now, you're saying, wait a minute, I know my city or county makes investments for our pension funds. No, that's on budget. Budget. There are budgetary investments. This is separate. This was set up in Chicago by the mafia in the 30s and 40s. And in 1951, it was adopted nationwide as what's known as the Chicago 1313 model. And you can see my film, Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports Exposed. We have it available on DVD at Infowars.com. It's an important film. I hope you get it on DVD. But it's free on YouTube and Google if you don't want to pay for it. Just please spread the word about the material and the information. So when you hear that they've got to have 88 new taxes in New York and 50-something new taxes in Texas and franchise, which are really income taxes on businesses in Texas and everywhere else, no, your money goes to offshore banks. Who works for them? The military and the police. They're there to make sure the criminals are able to carry out their operation. That's what martial law is all about. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You know, I think I'm going to get Joe Petro, who was partners with Kurt Vonnegut on his artwork. So I never got Kurt Vonnegut on the show. But Kurt Vonnegut sent me a hand-drawn and hand-signed, before he died, about 8 months before he died, he said, I'm just too old. I don't want to come on the show. I'm done. But I just wanted you to know we appreciate your films and your work. That, I'm pretty proud of that. Kurt Vonnegut, an amazing literary mind. But the lithograph he sent me is a birdcage with a bird flying out, the international symbol of liberty, or I guess the French symbol of liberty. And I got a coffee cup similar to it. I don't know why I'm telling that story now here on air. By the way, if you are a PrisonPlanet.tv member, you just mosey over to PrisonPlanet.tv right now. And you can see the videos that we're playing on the radio, visually see them. You can hear the show. And you can see all the documents and articles that we're talking about here just by logging in there at PrisonPlanet.tv. You see banners all over the place at PrisonPlanet.tv for the live television show. I want to go to Pat, Joshua, David, Debbie, James, and others, but I need to roll through some more of the news here. Finishing up with transponders, satellite boxes in your car. I remember 12 years ago a truck driver sending me big truck driving magazines, where they were telling them this will be the future and everybody's going to pay. Then I remember reading about governments doing it. I remember seeing Toyota and others saying they were preparing to make the public basically do this. And then I would go on air and tell people and get the standard stuff. You liar, they'll never do that. And then now they're doing it. And I mean, we need to say no. I mean, this is just amazing. But the bigger issue is they keep claiming they need money. Folks, governments are erecting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new taxes and squeezing the public. And the majority of the money that the government squeezes out of us goes to offshore banks. And as if that wasn't enough, they now publicly have made the Treasury Department above, through the Federal Reserve that's private, above Congress. And the Bloomberg financial reports were under War Powers Act, martial law. And I have congressmen on to tell you martial law has basically been put in over Congress. Congress is above the courts and the president. You know, first they taught people 50 years ago that it was co-equal branches. It's not. I've read the Federalist Papers. I've read the Anti-Federalist Papers. One of the few things they were unanimous about was a Second Amendment, a First Amendment, and that the legislature is preeminent. But now they say, no, the executive is above the legislative. And the executive openly says that it commands the legislative. Look at Korea, look at Vietnam, where the president just goes off to war and there's no declaration. Congress has to declare war, name the enemy, and then they raise the money, and then they command the commander-in-chief. Now they tell us, no, no, the president's above them. Totally made up. Total fraud. Again, I go back to the 17th Amendment, same year we got the income tax when the private Federal Reserve took over, 1913. What did they say? What did they do? Before, you would elect your state reps, and then they would vote, and they would elect the U.S. senator. So the state controlled the Congress through the Senate. Local control. I mean, what does dictator mean? It means the central government dictates. It tells you, oh, you don't want a war, it's still going to happen. Oh, you don't want open borders, it's still going to happen. Oh, you don't want a carbon tax, it's still going to happen. This is a dictatorship of the corrupt elite. And the president is just a front man in all this. Now, meanwhile, with all these serious issues going on, I got black guys calling up the show in the first hour telling me I'm a white devil again today. And this one brand of black Israelism, Israelite, where it says the whites are all the devil and that Jews particularly are just absolute Satan seed. And I'm like, look, man, I'm not getting involved in this. I don't think blacks are the devil. I don't think whites are the devil. I don't think Chinese are the devil. We're all just human beings. But meanwhile, can you blame all this racism when people like Limbaugh, this fake conservative, drug addict, Oxycontin head, involved in all this stuff, always flying out to third world countries with big bags of Viagra, whatever. The point is he's a hypocrite. He says if somebody's caught with cocaine, the type that blacks tend to use, give him 25 years in prison first time. But if he's caught with synthetic heroin, nothing happens to him. And I don't like bashing Limbaugh, even though he's bashed me quite a few times, because it almost gets on his level. And you know, he's not, I mean, he's part of the false left-right paradigm. That's why the media always gives him attention. You know, he's the guy that fooled Republicans to come out for Hillary so that McCain would lose. You know, saying they were going to beat Obama and it was some, you know, secret plan and all the rest of it. That was really a setup. And Limbaugh, on record, says the Council on Foreign Relations doesn't exist. Now he admits it exists, but says it's just a think tank. He says there's no New World Order when hundreds of newspapers are announcing world government of, for, and by the private banks, openly admitting the private central banks are engaged in all these activities. You know, they engineer the crisis. Now you're going to pay your carbon taxes to them. Limbaugh won't tell you that. But what he will do is play things that, I mean, really are incendiary racially. Now, I believe in the First Amendment, and he's got a right to play stuff like this. But some people think the First Amendment is not having a right to criticize it. I have a right to criticize it, and it isn't that I'm walking on eggshells and can't handle stuff. It's that it's pointless, and it actually helps Barack Obama, calling him the magical Negro. Will cause more racial tension, will cause bigger racial divides, and will empower white guilty yuppies to support Obama no matter what he does, because they're not going to be seen as being in a racist camp. By making it racial, it diverts us off of his policies that are bad: gun control, open borders, carbon taxes, more wars, and then makes it left-right. Makes it, you know, black-white. Makes it, balkanizes it. So here is the, it's not even a racist song. It's a manipulative, brainwashing song It's a manipulative brainwashing song to make people who don't like Obama look bad. It's not a legitimate attack on Obama. You understand? Go ahead and roll it.
I rock the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they called him that cause he's not authentic like me. Yeah, the guy from the L.A. paper said he made guilty whites feel good. They'll vote for him and not for me cause he's not from the hood. See, real black men like Snoop Dogg or me or Farrakhan have talked the talk and walked the walk, not coming late and won. Oh, Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they called him that cause he's black but not authentic. Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they called him that cause he's black but not authentically. Some say Barack's articulate and bright and new and clean. The media sure love this guy, oh, an interloper's dream. But when you vote for president, watch out and don't be fooled. Don't vote the magic Negro in, cause I won't have nothing after all these years of sacrifice. And I won't get justice. This is about justice. This is about me. It's about justice.
No, all right, I can't. I can't listen anymore of it. Okay, now, I mean, it's stupid. Again, it makes everything about the fact that he's black, not that we don't want his policies. It's petty. It's skin deep. And this was first, you know, being distributed by Republican National Committee Chairman Mike Duncan, who's been distributing this, and Limbaugh's playing and saying it's real funny. Again, this is part of tearing America apart. Play a little bit of Limbaugh saying he doesn't care. He doesn't, care. Again, this is about a stunt. This is about Limbaugh when he doesn't get the attention he needs, coming out and saying black quarterbacks are no good or whatever. I mean, again, it's all a big, fat diversion. Here it is.
Controversy.
Every one of you out there that think you've got something here on Barack the Magic Negro, I'm going to try to help you and save you.
Saltzman defends the CD, telling CNN, "I think most people recognize political satire when they see it. I think RNC members understand that." But current RNC chairman Mike Duncan says he's appalled in a statement to CNN. The 2008 election was a wake-up call for Republicans to reach out and bring more people into our party.
There's a crowd of conservatives that takes a special pride in being anti-PC. What I don't think they fully appreciate is it comes across somewhere between being indifferent to hostile. And that's how.
All right, let's stop right there. Again, and then the mainline social engineer liberals can grandstand like they've got the moral high ground and push through their agenda on global warming, which is admittedly targeted to shut down Africa, Latin America, and Asia's industrialized development, and will actually kill tens of millions of people that are dying every year of starvation. So again, it's more just petty, mindless diversions and distractions, and more of a way for the establishment to put Limbaugh out there like he's a renegade, like he's cutting edge, when the guy is a hypocrite, when the guy is not a real conservative, and when the guy is a tragedy. He's a tragedy. I feel sorry for Rush Limbaugh. Because he's a smart guy, and he knows that he's just there to deceive and to neutralize conservatives, to give them a false brand of conservatism, to make sure they're defeated, to make sure the New World Order comes in. All right, folks, your calls are coming up in the next segment, but I want to continue with the news blitz here. Let's look at InfoWars.com. I covered a lot of the news from earlier today, but more has been posted up on InfoWars.com. Look right here. I hit refresh on the page. Earlier I was talking about transponders in all of the cars and satellite trackers to tax you by the mile. Well, we've got more stories up here about they want automatic satellite speed controls that automatically ticket us and track everywhere we go. More than a decade ago, they put black boxes in all the new cars that are monitoring where you go and what you do. In case something happens, they can then go use that against you. Nobody tells you that this surveillance is being built into the society. Again, there's no presumption of innocence. Everything is guilty until proven innocent. But cut back to this because I want to show folks over here what's going on the screen. 73,000 retailers to close in the first half of 2009. Here is that headline for folks. 73,000 retailers to close in the first half of 2009. And then, again, we can just go right to these articles. Almost 1 in 10 Floridians are now on food stamps. I mean, this is the total breakdown of society. But just what government wants, just what the social engineers want. And then we've got all the images of the carnage that is going on over in Gaza. Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement is going to be screened in Dublin. That's always interesting. Madoff attorneys explore insanity defense. Ah, yes. You know what happened with this Madoff character, Madoff, who made off with the money. Now they're saying over $100 billion he stole from institutions, governments, big banks. They knew what he was doing. One guy wasn't running this whole scam. He's taking the blame, the fall guy, because a larger Ponzi scheme being run by Israel got caught. And there's a lot of other scams that are going on around the world as well. He's not the only Ponzi scheme. That's what Wall Street and the CIA is. The CIA was founded out of the OSS by Wall Street, by the Ivy League. They are a surly, arrogant, know-it-all group of Eddie Haskell criminals, a gang with a flag, who use fake patriotism to get you to go along with their tyranny. They are the ones that want globalism. They want to kill the United States. They want to bring in their own form of government. They want to bring in their own tyranny. They own both parties. And guess who got five times the Wall Street money that John McCain did? His name was Barack H. Obama. So he's not some black liberation guy like the left thinks. You know, the right attacks him for all of those diversions and distractions. The real issue, this guy's a thoroughbred front man meant to sell the left and betray the left, just like George Bush was meant to betray the right. So that's what these guys really are, and that's what they're really all about. Continuing, looking at the screen here for folks, some of the other articles that we're going over here for folks. Is this one I mentioned? Report: automatic speed limiting devices should be fitted to cars. Half of middle class homeowners fear their properties could be repossessed in the near future. See, it's a country of debtors. And the minute the bankers in 2007, January 2007, we became a debtor nation. We were the apple of the eye, had more than half the world's wealth, had the greatest savings rate, the greatest ownership rate. Then we were taught in the 70s and 80s and 90s that being in debt was cool, and all the financial experts told you to do it on the news. And the cities invested their pension funds in these systems, and the bankers ran off with your money and bought real resources and real infrastructure, and now they're screwing you. Now they're cheating you. Oh, look, NFL encourages fans to send text messages to security staff to report troublemakers. See, and of course, humanity is breaking down. Society is falling apart. The people are turning into animals. A football game is not a family event. Believe me, I've been to them in the last decade. And so now the answer is put everybody in jail. Arrest everybody. Taser a woman if she doesn't get out of her seat fast enough. And tattle on everybody. No, that's not going to fix it. Our society is unraveling. That is the major issue. That is the major problem that we face as a society. All right, when we come back, I'm going to take some calls, and I'm going to blitzkrieg through some of the news that we haven't gotten to yet. Obama's stimulus plan, $775 million. That'll be a buy-off of the states. That'll be given to all his political cronies and everybody. Of course, the bankers will then get interest on all that. Exclusive RNC draft rips Bush bailouts, says that it's socialism. We'll get into that a little bit. That is some of the news coming up today. And I promise to get to this as if things weren't bad enough, Russian professor predicts, into the U.S. It's not just the Russians that are saying this. It's the globalists. They want the end of the United States. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this quick break. Don't forget the websites, prisonplanet.tv, Infowars.com. All right, here's the deal. I'm going to your calls. I'm giving you each a minute apiece. I've got a bunch of news, and I got a video clip from Russian TV I want to play. This has been picked up by the Wall Street Journal. But right now, let's go ahead and go back to the calls. Pat in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, I need more than a minute. I know you haven't done it, but you need to do a show about this danger we have to the Constitutional Convention, because Texas is guilty again. Roe v. Wade, and now we may be our fault that if we lose the Constitution. There was an aide, they don't say this on Wikipedia, but he was an aide to former transportation czar who fell dead, Rick Williamson, and the guy's name was Gregory Watson. I was there. I was trying to fight it. He went back 200 years and got called for the Constitutional Convention on the ruse. Well, at that time, they thought it was important. That you could not write yourself a raise while you're in office. You couldn't get it till you reelected. Well, it hasn't stopped them from doing it under COLA. It's been to court and cost of living raises. They're getting themselves raises. But what this guy was really working on when he did that was an ERA amendment. And what it amounts to, Alex, is this. He wanted to prove, he started doing that in 82, and when we approached Rick Williamson, he acted like he really didn't know anything, that Texas had a call for a constitutional amendment to convention with a ruse to balance the budget. It's a bait and switch thing. People don't
understand. They're always trying to get a state income tax, too. For those that don't know, a constitutional convention is where they can call all the states together. There are only two states short of it right now. The closest we've been in decades to getting a constitutional convention. They can rewrite the entire Bill of Rights, entire Constitution, and they've got the ruse of gay marriage for the left to get behind it in some states. In right-wing states, they claim it's for, you know, an illegal alien amendment. But the groups pushing it admit it's really about gutting everything once they get it. And hell, the executive's already declared itself dictator above the legislative. But that doesn't mean that's legitimate. But they could legitimately, it would still be tyrannical, but more legitimately at least, ram through in a con. And so we need to beat that. I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you, Pat. Joshua in Oregon, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. I want to talk to you about something that's really important to you. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I heard you're having some difficulty with your websites in Google. SEO is my job. All day long I handle search engines and stuff. And, you know, when I heard about that, I went and checked out InfoWars and PrisonPlanet.com. And your problem is not with Google. It's with the design of your website. Your website should be pulling a huge amount of traffic, but because there's some simple errors on your website, Google is completely ignoring them.
Well, sir, I mean, it's more than that. It's my videos being delisted or erased off Google or YouTube. It's a lot of other things that are going on that are happening. But, yes, we moved to the WordPress so people could comment. And then we have problems with WordPress not letting – like I can't comment from my house for some reason. We don't know why. And then people accuse us of censorship because there's, you know, it's got such traffic. And yes, I know a lot of people told us it's not listed right for the search engine. So do me a favor, email Aaron at Infowars.com and he'll pass that on to Kurt. Email, because I've had a lot of people tell me that we don't have the tags done right on there. And, we're trying, we're just normal folks. We're lucky if we can keep my websites up for a week straight. And so, yes, I know there's a lot of ineffective things we're doing. And since we moved from HTML to the WordPress, we've lost a lot of our search engine rankings, and that's horrible because we're not reaching as many people randomly out there with our news and information. So that needs to be changed. Please send me that info. Why don't you tell me on right now the errors, and I'll tell you that's the same errors I've been told about.
Yeah, right. Your title tags are missing on all your sites. PrisonPlanet.com, it has a robot text file right there that is deliberately telling Google to ignore it, to ignore the entire website. It's all of the links on PrisonPlanet.com have no follow tags on them, which again tells Google to completely ignore it. I mean, to me, you know, it would be hard to set up a WordPress site that is worse, you know, than PrisonPlanet.com.
It's as bad as it possibly can be. Yeah,
it is.
I understand.
It's worse than anything.
We work hard around here, let me tell you. Oh my God, the lost opportunities to get the word out. Listen, I that's what I've been told by other people. And then it's basically show me the money, because, you know, do me a favor. Go there, contact Watson, tell him what he needs to change. I'm aware of that. We need to get it fixed immediately, because with friends like ourselves, who needs enemies? And email Watson, do me a favor, email Aaron right now, and I'll make sure Kurt gets that. Have we set up Kurt's email in the last year he's been working here yet? Is it Kurt@Infowars.com? Is that his email? We think so, yeah. Yeah, sir, I am aware of the problems, and I tell my people, and you know, they're doing what they can. We need more money. We need people to support us so we can hire more web people and get it done. But do you want to volunteer to help us? You want to give me your name and number?
Yeah, I would like to do that, sure.
Okay. And then, John, don't let me forget at the end of the show to get this info from him, so I can have some folks. Look, I'm aware of it. Other people tell me that we couldn't have our tags worse, is basically what I've been told. And it's because my web guys know the New World Order. They know how to analyze it, write stories, post. Paul Watson's not even a web designer. And, you know, he writes articles, does customer service, stuff like that. You know, he's like contracted. He's not even an employee, but he does a good job. And then Kurt is an employee here. And, you know, I don't want to knock my guys, but yes, I know we need to fix it. Thank you. Get his name and number, and I'll see that it all gets handled. Let's go ahead and talk to David in Georgia. David, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. First off, I just have some comments. A couple years ago, I did the Terrorstorm remix video that's on YouTube. I believe the old InfoWars site, it featured it, and I'd like people to check that out if they haven't seen it. You can go to YouTube and type in Terrorstorm remix, and it should be the first result.
Okay.
Alex Jones and Fission, Terrorstorm remix. And I have a close family member who worked for the Air Force civilian DOD side in classified areas avionics for about 40 years. And I was able to convince him about 9/11 truth, and I had a discussion with him about how they might have remote controlled the planes with Global Hawk. And he told
full-grown adults still say there's no such thing as remote control when they can shoot cruise missiles through people's chimneys, down their chimneys, and Joe Kennedy Jr. died remote controlling in a chase plane, a B-17 loaded with explosives as a drone. I mean, they've had it since World War II. They've been having jumbo jets take off in L.A. and fly to Australia since the 70s. But the public just says it doesn't exist. But then they say cell phones work at 20,000 feet when they don't work at 5,000 feet. They're making cell phone calls. And then now Barbara Olson's husband has been caught having to admit with the phone records that Barbara Olson never called him. It wasn't real. It isn't true.
Yeah, but I had this conversation with him, and like I said, he worked in classified avionics, and I asked him about that, and he said that is exactly how that it was done, using Global Hawk. And I also had a couple questions I wanted to ask you about false flag attacks, and if you had a hypothesized, what kind of black ops outfit do you think was behind it? Was it like Delta, or was it the CIA special activities?
No, exactly. It's a nexus of CIA running the drills to make everybody stand down, NORAD, keep people standing down, to screw up all the other groups that were tracking it at NORAD and the FAA. And then they used because they were loyal and would do it. I believe Mossad was involved on the ground along with other Cold Warrior groups, Christian Zionists, who, you know, really believe that the Muslim threat is so great that the attacks had to be staged to get America's head screwed on right, to let us know we got to deal with this threat. And now they've written all these articles in the news saying 9/11 sure helped us. We need another one. So, you know, and we've got all these Republican memos that have come out about, man, we sure need another attack. That was sure great. You know, PNAC explained, Dick Cheney explained that the terror attacks would help them get through with their agenda. So I believe they used contractors, people who've been in special forces, people who, you know, are at that level above government. And it would take about 100 people to do the ground ops inside those buildings where they had complete access and control. Jeb Bush, brother Marvin Bush, was running security. And, I mean, it's this nexus of all these key people there. I appreciate your call. I want to get to this clip so I can come back and take more calls in the final segment. Wall Street Journal reports, as if things weren't bad enough, Russian professor predicts end of U.S. And the whole article says, you know, the evil, corrupt Russians, they just want America to fall and they just hate America. So now if you talk about the U.S. breaking up, going bankrupt, you're an evil Ruski. All the Russians are saying, he's been saying this for 10 years, is that through globalization and Balkanization, that the United States is falling apart. And he actually goes on in his real reports to say this is going to hurt Russia. Russia doesn't want this. But if you look at the international banks, they've always, and they've bragged, the Club of Rome has bragged, that they want America to have a low standard of living. They want to get rid of the middle class. They want the U.S. to fall apart so they can buy it all up cheaper and control the population. So see, now they ignore Gerald Celente and Peter Schiff and myself and all these others and Ron Paul, who've been predicting this for years. I've been predicting a lot longer than Schiff and others, but I don't care if I get credit, whatever. The point is that, you know, they pretty much ignore us, but then they go, oh, look, the Ruskies are saying it. The Ruskies, they hate America. No, the globalists are the ones that want this to happen, and they are breaking the U.S. up. So let's go ahead and look at this clip from Russia Today a few weeks ago. The point is, it's finally now made the Wall Street Journal. We've got a link to that up on prisonplanet.com. Here it is.
The financial crisis and its potential consequences have been occupying the minds of many experts across the globe recently. Indeed, the turmoil originated in the US. And a Russian professor of economics has put forward his own theory about the impact the credit crunch will have on America. Joined in the studio now by Igor Panarin, who says the US will split into six pieces because of the crisis. Let's talk more about this. Good evening to you. Thanks for joining us in the studio. Quite controversial thoughts, these. Explain your thought process, sir.
I believe that in 1998
I was writing my theory. It has to do with the fact that, first of all, different states of the United States have different history, different culture, and different level of financial and economical significance in the life and activities of the United States. Today I believe that the world is at the point of United States development when in fall of 2009 there may a huge crisis may develop, and eventually it will lead in summer of 2010 that the territory of the United States will be divided into six different states.
My immediate thought is, do you think this would have happened, may happen, according to your theory, if it weren't for the financial crisis? And if this scenario did happen, where would the power base be?
Well, the main power base, there will be actually three power bases on the territory of the United States: New York and Washington, which will be under the influence of London, first of all. It's California and Texas, which will be under the influence of three countries: Russia, China, and Mexico, from my point of view.
Now, German Chancellor Angela Merkel says the U.S. got into this trouble in the first place by borrowing cheap money and using cheap money. Do you agree with her?
I believe that she's right. First of all, I can emphasize that Russia and Germany often have the same points of view as far as the financial crisis is concerned in particular. But I also want to emphasize that the problem is that the dollar is not backed by gold, and there are too many dollars in this world.
Well, Mr. Panarin, what are your forecasts for the outcome here in Russia regarding the financial crisis?
I believe that the crisis in Russia can be finally prevented only with making the ruble the main reserve currency of Eurasia and turning Moscow into the main financial center of the Eurasian continent.
Just very briefly, I just wanted to also pick up on something you said in your report that you even speculated, this scenario, that Alaska might want to renew its ties with Russia. Why is that then?
I believe that Alaska should return to Russia, and there is a very good manager, Roman Abramovich, who is
right,
really
successful
in managing.
Okay, that a bit fanciful there at the end. But decadent, bankrupt, bully nations do fall apart and do get usurped. But again, just like 150 years ago, 10 Western powers went in and divided up China into their own private business district and had paramilitary police on every street corner, and different companies and nations had different armed mercenary groups that protected them. That's what the United States is shifting to. That's why the Navy's creating its own army now. The criminals have taken over government, and they have decided to loot the hell out of us. I want to bring up Ted Anderson right now. Take a few final calls right at the end of the show. Ted, I'm not going to belabor this long. Gold is up over $180 in the last it went up to $883 yesterday. And you bought gold last buy when it was at $770. You have a little bit of gold left at those prices. You are also one of our great sponsors here on the TV shows. We'll put some of your phone numbers and graphics up on the screen at prisonplanet.tv. Ted Anderson joining us from Minnesota. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here with you.
Ted, correct, you're still offering gold that you bought at the 770 level?
Yeah, we sure are. We still have those francs at 205, and we have the British sovereigns at 254. We're talking last time, what's the best buy in the house right now? I'm still offering silver dollars with a creature from Jekyll Island for $26.45, and people sure need to know about central banking. We have the Walking Liberty halves. They're currently at $8.40. I just can't say it enough. I mean, there's just so much going on economically in this world that you simply have to take a serious look at your investments.
Well, Ted, let's be clear. That creature from Jekyll Island deal, the book I know, is, you paid $14 for those. And then you're offering a silver dollar that they're selling everywhere for above $20. And so, I mean, for $26, you are losing money on this?
Well, yeah, Alex, we lose money on it. But the point of it is that we need to carry this message not just to the listeners here of the Alex Jones Show, but these people need to have the ammunition and the knowledge to carry to their friends and family. And so, yeah, we lose a little bit of money on it, but well worth the cost.
800-686-2237. You can see it on screen there at prisonplanet.tv. Right now, if you're watching or later on the web, as this is archived. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Ted, briefly come back at the end, because I want to just again explain to people, this is gold $100 under what it's currently selling for. You understand that, folks? We'll be right back. All right, I want to jam in a call from Debbie, James, Russell, whoever I can here at the end. Too much has gone by too fast with us today here. Ted Anderson, without belaboring this, you buy gold when it's down, and then you pass those savings on to people when it's up. They can buy it when it's down, too, but it's way up over $100 in the last week, and you bought it when it was $100 lower. You have the British sovereigns. You have the American eagles. You have the European francs, the French and Swiss and other francs. Again, tell folks about those deals and give them the phone number.
Yeah, of course. We have the British sovereign. Currently, right now, it's at 254. We have the franc. It's at 205. We do put the silver dollars inside of the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you want something, I mean, get a silver dollar for nothing, basically, because you're paying for just the cost of the book. You get a free silver dollar. Otherwise, I do have the buffalo. And
oh, my God. Wait. You had 50 of those yesterday. Do you still have them?
No, we sold that supply out, but I found more. So I'll do another 50.
How many do you have?
I'll do 50 at 1,036. So
again, impossible to find, and huge premiums everywhere if you can find them. There is no premium on that. You cannot beat that deal. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. And, Ted, I want to thank you for your sponsorship of this show. So much of what we're able to do here is because of you. And I don't know how you support us like you do, because I happen to know your gold prices, and I happen to know on some of these deals you're making no money.
Well, it's, I mean, a lot of it, I mean, you know where my heart is. I would like to see, I'd like to see this movement move forward. I would, you know, I'm going to be getting into some pretty mainstream shows pitching the idea that this Federal Reserve is a bad idea. And so just start listening. You'll hear me all over the place. And I just think it's so important to get people back to your show and listen, because given any bit of time, they're going to find out the truth and know that it's coming from you, and what's coming from these Main Street people are, you know, it's just a bunch of hogwash and smoke and mirrors. So we'll just keep it running that way.
Absolutely. 800-686-2237. Ted, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me up.
Okay, folks, I took about 20 calls today. That's shameful. I mean, I could have taken 500. I just, every caller wants to make points. I want to make points. I want to spend time with the callers. I want to give them a chance to speak. Then I have all this other news and audio clips and video clips. We're out of time. I meant to go to Joshua, David, Debbie, James, Russell. Call me back tomorrow, guys, in the first hour, and I promise you'll go to the head of the line. But I'm going to leave my IM from Minnesota open, because we're in Texas, the main networks of Minnesota. And if you call in tomorrow, you'll be first in the line. I apologize to those viewers. And there's all this other news I didn't get to here. Let me cover that right here at the end. Corporate media notices War College report on economic crisis. And Kurt Nema did a story about a whole bunch of mainstream newspapers. El Paso Times, Phoenix Business Journal, a whole bunch of other ones in the last week coming out and saying the Army will be used against the American people. Not terrorists, the American people. But the articles sickeningly say it's good. See, when they're really finally to use this martial law apparatus that they've set up, they then have to introduce it to you and sell you that it's a good idea. And again, I'm not against the military and the police individually, but they've been set up to carry out tyranny. We're under martial law. We're under the War Powers Act. The Federal Reserve has announced to Congress they are in control of the country. That is illegal. But the hijackers dressed up in a fancy uniform, so people are, cops are going, well, I guess they're the new boss because of that image of authority. There's that. There's a bunch of other stories here. U.S. Army document that proves the U.S. is the world's number one sponsor of worldwide terrorism. The Army admits it themselves. It's just incredible. I am out of time here. Again, hundreds and hundreds of major chains and businesses going under. Holiday sales, the worst ever. This is all New World Order engineered so they can blow out the economy and have a fire sale. Rebroadcast starts on the web, one place, Infowars.com, with all the key info right now. And we'll be back on the AM and FM later today and tomorrow. God bless you all. This is it for PrisonPlanet.tv.